This week, you got your Apex in my Fortnite, From Downtown in my Rage, your Mario in my Little Big Planet, and your VR in my Switch. We've read through the fools and hope it's all legit to bring you tonight's news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio tonight, live with episode number 771 for this April the 7th of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me in studio, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
I'm so full.
You're full?
Yeah.
Of those cookies that you brought to the studio tonight.
Well, I meant to save one, but I ate it.
She was going to give us a cookie, but she ate it.
They came out black or gray because I made raspberry and blackberry puree.
Uh-huh.
And when I added it to the batter, it turned gray and got really sticky, so I had to add more flour. So I don't know if I'm going to make them again because the first bite's like sugar cookie and then raspberry flavor.
It turned out good, though.
It did, but I like my sugar cookies. But I'm not doing any more dandelion cookies this season either.
Speaking of raspberry cookies, would you allow the Twitch folks to see the back of your head? Because it's a very lovely red color.
This isn't raspberry, though.
I know. It's a little lighter than raspberry, but I like the color. I do.
This is flamingo.
Oh, okay. Oh, excuse me.
Orange. Flamingo pink. This is orange and peach.
Okay.
You can't really see, but look, this is where my head was shaved. See?
Well, and for the podcast listeners, they can't see anything anyway because...
Sucks to be you.
But no, we love our podcast listeners.
I didn't say that they suck. I said it sucks to be them since they can't see the gloriosity of my hair.
Well, if you want to see the gloriosity of hair, you can tune in live every Sunday night at Twitch.tv.
My follicular glory. Vog. Is that a word? Follicular.
Let me do my plug. Be quiet. Twitch.tv / VOG Network.
I'm looking it up.
Every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blockwolf Show. More information and other great podcasts available at VOGNetwork.com. Other things you can see on Twitch.
It's a word.
What is?
Follicular.
That's fantastic. Now, can I introduce our third host, please?
I guess.
All right. Over there by my side, as he usually is, did you just catch a Pokemon here? Techmaster Loki.
Several Pokemon.
Live on air. Is there something good on the house I should be paying attention to?
No. I just have to get rid of all these great and whatever.
Oh, like the quest? You have to make so many?
No, I just have so many of them. They're taking up my inventory space, and normally I just throw them away. So, might as well.
Gotcha. You got too many balls.
Rob, he's throwing away his blue balls.
I see. Too many balls.
And yellow balls.
All right.
I don't want to know about yellow balls.
Over in our chat, over at Twitch.tv / VOG Network, because again, we tape live on Sunday nights, and you guys can join us in our chat room. Bobby Blackwolf suggesting that somebody could make a clip of the hair thing, and then, because yeah, there are clips of our show and Bobby's show. Now, usually, if you want to see the video archive, because that's a little something special, you can see it free, of course, when we broadcast live on Sunday, but you can subscribe using your Twitch Prime subscription or any of the Twitch subscription offers they have there, and you will get access to the complete video library. You can watch a video episode if you want. Audio only, of course, is free, as it's always been for coming up on 17 years. But the clips that people make are free. So you can see little, 30-second clips of our show. Some people clip random things, too. I think some people just accidentally clip the button because they'll be, these random. I'm like, why did somebody clip that? It's just us. I mean, it's not, yeah. But there's also clips of things that are, funny moments or, when Smoosh came on camera that one night or whatever, so... Things happen.
Yeah.
So it's part of the magic of doing Twitch since we did move over in December from Shoutcast where we were beforehand. Anyway, let's get into our kickoff topic tonight. Let's talk about anniversaries. It's a little bit different of a kickoff topic. Usually we would talk about, some new gaming story or what's going on in the news. And there is a little bit going on in the gaming news this week, although it's probably slowed down a little bit from last week because of, there's no PAX this week or GDC. I think everything's calming down a little bit. But we do have a big anniversary that we're looking at this week, and that is Final Fantasy VI celebrating its 25th anniversary. Now, of course, I'm sure many of you guys that consume gaming podcasts are probably aware at this point that here in the U.S., we received Final Fantasy VI as Final Fantasy III. So sometimes this is called Final Fantasy III U.S., we received it as that, but this is in the true Final Fantasy canon. It's the sixth game. And 25 years ago on April 2nd, so this week, in 1994, Final Fantasy VI was released in Japan. We got it a little bit later because back then, you know, it wasn't such a global economy. The internet had not yet taken off. I think the internet was probably still government in 94. I don't think you could do internet on Prodigy or AOL, any of that stuff
94?
Yet. 94? 94. Not yet. Almost there,
no,
right?
No, you had AOL because remember, I met Dan in my first year on AOL. In 93, 94 was AOL 1.5, which was the DOS-based.
I thought that was more like after I graduated high school, like 96, but... I think it was still very we can say it was still very niche and not a lot of people were like
I was in college.
Yeah. So, but anyway. Regardless, Final Fantasy VI came out 25 years ago and obviously a lot of people remember this game very fondly. Although we sometimes joke about Super Nintendo releases and what's better, Super Metroid or Chrono Trigger, or you know, we razz maybe other games on Final Fantasy series, like you guys know I have my issues with Final Fantasy VIII and so forth. All that tongue-in-cheek talk aside, I think generally most people regard this as, especially in our age group of gamers, okay, and that's an important footnote to make, you know, the late 30s, early 40s, probably a good range outside of that too. I think there's a generation almost that would consider, even if maybe Final Fantasy VI isn't your favorite game, it's probably one of your favorite games if you're a roleplay person. If you're more of a sports gamer, maybe it's not in your list. But I know a lot of people.
That
I
would
know.
Be Final Fantasy X if you're a sports gamer.
Oh, for Blitzball. Heck yeah. Come on, Zanark and Abes. Yeah, right? But anyway, I think this game certainly left an impact on a lot of people. Dark Sakura, you know, since you were on the internet earlier, and I know you're a big retro gamer and a big gamer girl and all the way back in college and so forth. What was your, like, memories with Final Fantasy VI?
Pretending to have the flu for a week so I could beat it after I rented it.
So you rented the game. You didn't even...
I rented it.
And you held on to it for an entire week. That's a lot of late fees.
No, I renewed my rental. The place that we were renting our video games from, you could rent for a week.
Oh, that's... Oh, nice.
And so, because I wasn't renting through Blockbuster. We were doing, like, the little mom and pops.
Yeah, I rented... Because I worked for a mom and pop, so I usually rented through there, too, but, yeah.
But... I played the shit out of it, and I actually started over after the minecart level, and then just started completely over, and just zoomed right up till then, and then got through it. I don't know why. I think it was just that motion sickness thing I've had, because I just couldn't do it at all. Got so pissed that I put it away for a day, went back, started over, and beat the whole game in the rest of the week, and it was absolutely amazing, and then I finally got my own copy.
I remember watching a friend in high school play it because, you know, my family was pretty middle class. So it's like we didn't really get the games when they first came out, or that was a real treat. Like when I got Mortal Kombat on Mortal Monday or whatever it was, that was a freaking treat because I usually didn't get games on the release day. So I didn't get Final Fantasy III. I somehow didn't even realize the game was coming out. And then I was over at a friend's house one day and I used to do D&D in high school. So we were about to do a D&D thing and I walk in and they're playing. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like Final Fantasy II, but because remember, I wasn't as aware of what was going on in Japan and everything. I'm like, this is Final Fantasy II, but like, oh my gosh, I'm just like watching, like dumbfounded the entire time because there's like the mechs and the different. I think he was at the point in the game where you had Edgar and Saban. And so he was showing off how you could put, like, in the controller input. Because remember with Saban, it's like you did a little Hadouken and he would actually do, like, was it one move?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, there was like the controller input moves, and it was like, oh my gosh, it's like a fighting game. Not really, but you know, when you're 13, you're thinking those types of things, right? It's a fighting game. And then, of course, Edgar had the tools, right? So he had like the chainsaw and the thing. So it was
auto crossbow.
Yeah, the auto crossbow, the gas thing, the bio weapon or whatever. And so it was like getting to see all that for the first time was like, oh my gosh, it's so cool. And so like I knew I had to have it, and so I, you know, begged and I ugly begged. I was like, what they get? So finally for Christmas that year I got that game, and I played it like every single day until I beat it. I think part of me as a kid is still a little more fond of Final Fantasy II, or what would be IV, of course, in canon. Just because that was like the first one I played, and especially like the story from start to finish, because I don't know why, but Final Fantasy VI's ending was always a little weirder to me. Like that, let me kind of rephrase this, because I think it's something I've grown to appreciate in my older years as I did versus when I would have first played through this game, you know, many years ago, when I was like 13, is that I seem to remember – actually, no, I would have been older than 13. This game was out when I was in high school, and it's, 25 years ago. So I was more like 15, 16. I didn't like the way, like, at the end you split up into the three parties and you had to kind of go through that way. And then, like, everybody kind of had, like, a little piece of an ending. And then, like, if you didn't have somebody, you wouldn't see their piece. Because there's somebody I didn't have. Oh, I think it was Shadow. I didn't have Shadow.
You have to wait for him.
Well, right, but I didn't know that.
Wait for his late diva ass.
Right, so I didn't know that when I was a teenager. Actually, you know, as a teenager, do you know what I remember about Final Fantasy VI? That, like, or, like, something I interpreted in the script that, like, nobody else took away from it? And I know this is wrong. But when I first played the game, I thought that one of the flashback scenes with Realm and what was the older guy's name?
Oh, my grandfather.
Gosh. Her grandfather, whose name I can't remember in the moment, but somebody will yell it out in chat shortly. I thought that Shadow was Realm's mom. Notice I didn't say dad. I said mom. And I thought that was the twist. Because ninja, why not a female
Strago.
Ninja? Thank you, Strago. So why not a female ninja? And I don't know what it was in the script, if there was like a pronoun I misread or something. I don't know, but I thought, like, for years that Shadow was Realm's mom,
mm-hmm.
until somebody was like, no, like, it's like maybe her dad, but it's not really said specifically.
I'm now going to headcanon that it's her mom. Because we don't really know if Shadow is actually a dude.
Ultros was her mom.
All right, what are you? You played through this game, right? What do you?
Yeah,
what do you
I rented
younger?
It from Blockbuster.
Did you?
I did. I think I'm pretty sure I did. I know I didn't own it, but I had it long enough to play through it and beat it. And I did, and it was great. It was. I think I rented it multiple times, and just everything about it was fantastic. And I must have played it for, like, you know, over the course of a weekend or something to finish it, but.
In a weekend? I remember that game took like 60 hours to beat or something. It was a crazy amount of time.
But it was, yeah, it was, I just remember the end on it, but I don't know, like, how long it took me to do it, but it was fun.
So if y'all have an SNES Classic, I mean, that's probably the easiest way to play this game now. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, because to tie this into some more recent news and things that we've been talking about on the show more recently, you know, we seem to think that we might be standing on looking at the future of gaming where things are going to go more streaming and so forth. And it's not like, you know, Super Nintendos are going to suddenly wilt up and die. And those things especially can take a beating, right?
Well, I mean, that's just what... they're pushing for console, you know, gaming and stuff, but it doesn't mean that anybody's actually, it doesn't mean it's going to take off, you know, like, they may say that we want to go this route, but if no one buys the system or no one, you know, pays into it, they're not going to continue with it. So I'm not really worried that it's going streaming because there's still PC, there's still retro. I mean, and, you know, if you don't like what the new game's coming out on your streaming platform, or if it's just not going to work because you don't have the bandwidth or the bandwidth caps for it, then I'm sure you'll find ways around it.
When we're looking at 25 years from now, do you think the only way people are going to be able to experience Final Fantasy VI is by finding grandma at that point or grandpa's old Super Nintendo and playing the actual cartridge? Or do you think...
No, emulators, come on!
So emulators.
Was the internet all of a sudden getting this? They're going to find a way to wipe those off the internet
time. I guess that's true. I guess I don't know. Maybe because I think of the full experience as plopping down in front of the TV with a controller. But you're right. Why can't you do an emulator on the TV? Thanks to, you know, the little computers in a box and the USB stick. Whose name escapes me at the moment. But those
Raspberry Pis.
Thank you. And all those things. You know, and I'm sure that technology is going to just get even more.
Yeah, they're going to get more powerful, and it's just going to be – you'll be able to play all those old games that you want. I mean, that's the thing is, like, just because there's new games coming out doesn't mean we have to only play those new games. I mean, otherwise we wouldn't be remastering Borderlands 1 or, you know, doing all this stuff. I think it's just good games are going to be good games no matter what, and that's why, like, you know, and everyone's saying, well, it's all going to go the streaming route. But, you know, indies can't necessarily afford to maybe be on those streaming platforms, so they're going to do things differently. And
unless there was, like, a do-it-yourself solution like YouTube.
Well, I understand that, but, like, you know, there will be ways,
YouTube
I'm sure, to put yourself on different platforms, but it doesn't mean that's the only way to do it. And they're going to fill the void of, so it's not going to be that this is going to be the only way you do it. It's only going to be streaming. You're not really going to purchase anything. Maybe, and you're only going to have licensing to it or something.
Maybe the wrong thing to say is the only way, but especially again, you know, not to repeat this conversation too much. When we go look at the film industry, I think, and we see like a lot of it is Netflix and these sorts of things. Now, maybe the primary consumption method is streaming. And physical Blu-rays and DVDs are more collectible keepsake. They're more collectibles. They're more the secondary way to do things.
Right. I guess you could do it that way. But if it's going to be like, you know, the film industry, then we're going to have Square Enix's streaming service. We're going to have Nintendo's streaming service, Microsoft's streaming service, Sony, EA, Activision, all of them wanting their own.
I think especially on the TV, I think things are going to break with that eventually. I think you're going to see mergers and things you don't.
Oh, you're going to see piracy is what you're going to see because people are going to get tired of it.
Some of that, too. Lots of great comments in our chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. And Bobby Blackwolf saying, Google wants to dumb down your computer enough to make it a dumb terminal where the actual computing power is in a server farm. So the new computers of the future wouldn't have the horsepower to run an emulator. Well, a Super Nintendo emulator in this day and age can run on your phone, you know what I mean?
Well,
but I get what you're saying there, kind of tongue-in-cheek when it comes to Stadia and things.
No, I get what they're trying to do, too. They're lowering the cost of computing for, like, people to get into that. So, like, say I don't want to drop several thousand dollars on whatever. I can buy a Chromebook.
Or, well, and also something we really always need to be aware of is that we're in the United States. We're in California. Computers and being able to go pick one up is kind of a part of our culture. But you go to many other countries throughout the world, and computers are not something that's just assumed everybody has. In fact, it's a rarity. You don't see computers.
But
anywhere.
I'm never going to buy a Chromebook for like playing games. That's never going to be a thought that ever goes through my mind, because if I'm going to build a PC to play games on, whether it be buying a laptop or something, it's going to have the horsepower to play games. I'm not going to, well, I'll just buy a Chromebook because it essentially does nothing without, you know, Google, you know. So I would never do that. But there's other people that Chromebooks are a good option. Like, for example, I have a coworker that is retiring, and she wants a computer that can she can check email and do Facebook. And I'm like, Chromebook is your way to go, because that's all that shit does.
Yeah, that was my mom when she was still with us, is that she just wanted to do email, and she wanted to be able to look at her kids on Facebook. That's all she really
wanted. And so for that, I mean, and she's like, well, maybe I should get a Mac.
Even email, I feel like, is starting to fade away. It doesn't seem like email's going away in favor of things like, I hate to say it, Facebook Messenger, but Facebook Messenger is huge. But I also see other I feel like things like Telegram and some of those are starting to gain a lot of speed too.
Well, I don't
WhatsApp,
think
Snap.
Email's not going anywhere, but I think that, you know, for there's a market
physical
for
physical mail's not going anywhere either, but like the only thing that I welcome getting in the physical mail anymore is packages, like stuff I bought on the internet. That's it.
It's true, yeah. But I don't know. I just think that it's not going to be they want you to be convinced that this is going to be the next big thing, because they want the investors to be excited about it, and they want people to be excited about it, so they jump into it. But let's just see what it actually is by the time it actually comes out and how wonderful it is. Because if you may remember, not that long ago, when they were talking about the PlayStation 3, or I think it was the PlayStation 3, that it was going to be, you know, 1080p, full native 1080p, 120 frames per second. It's just going to be this monster of a system that is going to be super powerful. It fucking wasn't. So it's like the same thing with, they overhype everything, and then it comes out, and then they have to lower your expectations to what it actually can do. So let's just wait and see what it can actually do before we, you know, start predicting where the industry is going. Because who gives a shit where the industry is going? We're just going to go with it.
Dialing back to Final Fantasy VI a little bit, since that was what this was originally
about. I would love
about.
To see this game remade.
Well, it has been, Loki.
Well, I meant remade in
an appropriate
like Final Fantasy VII's being remade type of thing.
Oh, you want to see it. But I don't know if it would. I don't know if you can ever, like, lightning strike twice with the Final Fantasy VI. Like, you know, obviously the recent mobile / PC port they did was not good.
Or I would even take a new Final Fantasy game done in the style of Final Fantasy VI. We don't need 3D polygons and like real-time battles and shit like that. Just, you know, drop down, because that doesn't cost as much to develop.
Didn't they kind of do that with the Final Fantasy 15 damn it, I can't remember the name of it, but it was basically like it was like a earlier throwback.
Well, they also did the after years for Final Fantasy IV.
That was like true. And if you got that on the WiiWare, it was like you were playing Final Fantasy II/IV, like same graphics. There were some good comments, so I want to make sure I got a couple other of these because ActDeft in our chat room said that eventually, and I lost the original comment, but he had made the point that, oh yeah, games eventually will fall in the public domain too. So after so many years, you're not really pirating the game anymore because it's in the public domain. But it doesn't get really complicated, though, when technically the game was made in Japan. But I guess since it was put out in the U.S. as Final Fantasy III, I guess there's a certain term. But you can thank Disney for continuing to push that term back.
Yes.
Because Mickey Mouse should have been public domain by now. But he's not. So kind of interesting how that all works.
Well, it's because he's also their trademark, so that's you got trademark issues too. But
Bobby Blackwolf pointing out the new Dragon Quest does that. If you'd played that on 3DS, it had the top screen and bottom screen. And I think with the whole the Switch port, they're doing something with that too. It's not top screen, bottom screen, but like a button to switch between the two.
Yeah.
So some people do dig their retro modes. Dragon Quest is a pretty good game as well. Questbuster says, I wanted that 16-bit Final Fantasy XIII that Square Enix made a trailer of to explain the story. Tiger Claw in chat says, some games will get in the public domain, but some of the more bigger ones, they will continue to make games for those as long as they are around. You know, I'm almost starting to feel like about video game remakes, though, kind of finishing up that thought, as I am some of the movie remakes. Like, some of them can be really good, but a lot of them are not good. And something like the Borderlands remaster, where they just basically went in and put out 4K textures and didn't really change the game. I would consider that more like a Criterion Collection release of an old movie.
It's a remaster.
They're not trying to redo the movie. They're just...
It's not a remake. It's a remaster.
Exactly.
Well, Borderlands, they did change a few things.
A lot of video game remakes are kind of... Just like a lot.
Not Resident Evil 2, though. That was freaking amazing.
So there's a few diamonds in the rough. And I liked Blaster Master Zero, even though other people had their problem with it. And I would say not every movie remake was bad, although most of them are. I'm trying to think of a good movie remake. A Star is Born. Hello. The new Star is Born was incredible. So, you know.
It's not Barbara. Or Judy Garland.
I kind of thought it was better in the 70s.
Were there as many motorcycle accidents in it as there was in the previous versions?
There's no way I'm going to answer that question.
I actually think that the Total Recall remake, which was actually, I think, off the original story, honestly, it's arguably a better movie than the Arnold one, even if it doesn't have the cult following that the original one did.
It's not Spielberg miniseries. Stephen King miniseries. Some people swear that the miniseries they did on The Shining is actually better than the movie because it was more faithful to the book. Stephen King actually signed off on The Shining.
Well,
the
Stephen one King also signed off on The End of the Mist, and that was a poor decision.
That's true too. But then they made The Mist a TV show. Isn't The Mist a TV show now? I think or so. Thought I heard something.
Yes,
about that.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, not that I watch TV anyway.
I know. I so rarely do anymore these days. And then what else? What else?
Oh, every Animal Crossing new game has been good.
The It. Some people. The It.
It. It's just It.
Redo.
Yeah.
Versus the miniseries. But anyway.
It's not Tim Curry.
I know. But anyway, sorry. I don't mean to.
Of course, you know, go many down this different rabbit hole things of, happened in the books.
I don't mean to go down this rabbit hole of remakes in Hollywood.
Well, someday when computer technology is good enough to resurrect, you know, movie actor Tim Curry.
He's not dead.
I understand he's not dead, but he's, to the point where.
His mobility is limited.
Mobility is, you know.
He's not what he used to be, unfortunately, but he's a national treasure, international treasure.
Oh, God,
I want the new Dune to be good because I saw the four-hour original because I knew someone who... Remember we talking about Betamaxes earlier? Someone had it taped on Betamax.
Funny enough, Questbuster in chat is talking exactly about the Dune thing right now. Sci-Fi did their own Dune series, and it was actually pretty good. The series is good, but it lacks the epic music of Tangerine Dream that was in the movie. That's how some people feel about Legend, to tie it back to Tim Curry.
Legend. I was telling actually somebody on the phone.
I will always play Six Degrees of Tim Curry on this show.
I can't watch Legend.
Because the one scene.
I've never finished. Every time I said, I'm going to get through this damn scene. No, I'm not.
There's a
scene. I'm going to go heave in the bathroom.
I'm not going to. But there's a scene involving a unicorn that's not nice.
I'm going to go heave in the bathroom. That's what happens every time I try it.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I heave.
All right. Anyway. Enough dry heaving. Let's move on. Let's talk about happy things, video games, and the games we've been playing this week. So 25 years later, after the release of Final Fantasy VI, we're playing lots of other different games. I have to, unfortunately, speaking of history, I wanted to wear my Atari hoodie tonight for the Twitch people because I love this hoodie. It's a hoodie I recently added to my collection.
It's good, but I think the wood grain needs to be more wood grainy. It's pretty close.
They can't make it out of actual wood.
They can make it look like wood grain.
But for those on the
it's kind of poop emoji color.
For those on the podcast that can't see, and I'll try to get a little closer to the camera to show off here for Twitch. But for those on...
this is video company.
For those on the podcast that can't see, it actually, the way the hoodie is, it's like a black hoodie, but it has like a little wood grain part that's brown.
And it's video actually, computer.
Yeah, it actually looks like an old school Atari. And I love this. And it's actually an official license.
But I don't think
product.
I can play combat on your shirt.
I think I imported it from the UK, actually. Okay. But I really wanted this freaking hoodie, so I wanted to show it off. But now I'm going to take it off because it's too hot here in the studio. So while I start
it's
stripping,
getting hot in here.
Let's talk about our gaming weeks. So Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
If you can see on the camera, I'm playing Animal Crossing right now. And yes, she has orange hair like me. So my gaming week has basically been Animal Crossing and pinball and some Pokemon Go, but... Because of certain events happening in a few months, I'm going to play Ingress again. Rob.
Yes.
Addict.
A quick side note. We are going to be having a big event called an anomaly, an XM anomaly. Sacramento is having one. Of all places, there's two cities in the U.S. Two cities in the U.S. having this event on October 12th. Sacramento and Brooklyn.
It's like,
that's it.
Let's pick a couple of places.
And I know some would say Brooklyn's not a city. You know what I mean. You know what I mean? It's two places. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know why they're picking this old cow town, so whatever.
Because this old cow town really, really, really wanted one, so.
They begged him.
And it had been like 5 years.
Whose dick did they have to suck? Anyway. So I'm going to get prepared for the anomaly. I'm going to play me some Angress. Angress.
I think Angress is a good way to phrase it, because some people get very angry.
But I'm also playing some pinball. We've been playing a lot of the Ghostbusters pinball at our house. And I actually noticed something about our table is that Dan did the little hack thing on it to change out the music. So it plays music from the soundtrack in our game. So I've now been going around having Cleaning Up the Town playing in my head, which was arguably the best song of the movie. You know, and... Dan was actually doing really good on a ball with that. And I'm in the kitchen dancing and singing along with the music, making my weird cookies. And so I've been having a lot of fun on that. I'm playing my World Cup like as much as I can because I have decided that the next people to own my World Cup will be Mel and Melody because of four things. I had four factors that were going to play into who would get my table. My table. Number one, had to be someone who loves pinball as much as me and Dan.
Which they do.
Number two, had to be someone who would take really good care of it.
They will.
Number three, has to be someone who would sell it back to me and no one else if they needed to get rid of it.
They might. I'm just kidding.
And number four.
If their word is good.
Number four, I can go play it whenever I want.
Which is fine because you want to go visit the baby anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a birthday.
So
that's too. What I asked off for. I got off for a birthday.
Okay.
But if the yellow truck is there with a pinball in the back of it,
yeah,
you know what's going down.
You know what she got for her birthday?
That's for Daddy. Right. I've actually been trying really hard to find Melody at Theater of Magic, and I had a line on one, but it's way too much of a project machine, and they wanted more than I paid for my home use only one.
Mr. Bobby Blackwolf would like to go on the record and say, I would agree to all four things, but I'm on the wrong coast.
Bobby, I would trust you for this. I would absolutely trust you for this. There are very few people in the world that I would trust with my World Cup soccer, because apparently I have a type when it comes to pinball, and it's John Papaduke tables. Because Theater of Magic was also done by John Papadopoulos.
Oh, that's a great. That's one of my favorite tables. World Cup 94 is a really good one, too. I did want to mention the Breakman in chat. Speaking of people that you trust, Breakman in chat says, oh, man, I want to go to Dark Soccer's house. Time to have a party.
Breakman also says in number 5, if they say no, she will throat punch them. I won't throat punch them. I will just, I don't know. I'll just break into their garage and steal it and dance Maniacs while I'm at it.
In the middle of the night. Anyway, what else? What else for your gaming week?
We tried to get everything set up. Dan couldn't find the crap we needed. But then we decided we might be playing something on the Saturn instead. Because we want to go through all of our Konami collections and just sit and bore the shit out of people with Parodius and Salamander. And maybe some weird RPGs that we have to have a translation FAQ for that we're going to like speak our own dialogue for, like the Utena game. Hi, in another universe, I turn into a car. If everyone's seen the Utena movie.
It must be the awesome universe.
Utena turns into, spoiler, she turns into a pink Batmobile, and she and Anthy drive off through the city. It's weird. And then they're naked on the chassis of the pink Batmobile as they drive off into their lesbian sunset. That is literally the ending of the Utena movie.
Okay.
Right? Ugh, jeez. But anyway, we've been kind of on this, like, old Konami shooter kick. So that's kind of what we're going to do. We, like, watch through different playthroughs of Parodius. And the collection that we... No, it's not the collection we have. The PSP version is the one where they replaced... Crap, what song was it? It was like a pop song that was in the arcade and Saturn version, and they switched it out for a remix of Brilliant to You. Because we were trying to figure out which one had Brilliant to You in it, and it was, I think, Oceanberry Parodius for the PSP. So, anyway, Breakman says, a pink lesbian Batmobile, that's not something I thought I would hear about.
Have you heard this show?
Well, we've done it all. Now we have pink Batmobile lesbians.
Do you watch the show, Michelle?
Anyway.
Or Tamar? Anyway.
Anyway, so that's really been about the extent of his making plans and just getting shit together. Dan kept thinking we wanted to play on the CRT. I'm like, why would we play the Saturn on the CRT when it's, HDMI? Whatevs.
All right.
I'm done.
Moving on. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I played not a lot of stuff this week, but I did start off the week by trying to transcribe more edits I was missing off of my DDR machine. And I got through 18 of them before I decided to try to transfer them to my system. And the problem is I'm using a brand new editing tool. I used to use one called DDR Edit Max, and it's old. It only ran on XP and out of Visual Basic 6 runtime, which doesn't work in Windows 10. So I found, thanks to the Wayback Machine, DDR Edit Max 2, that actually does work. But there's a problem, is that something's wrong with the edit files themselves, and the machine does not recognize them, or doesn't recognize most of them. It recognized one of them, and I don't know why one works and the rest don't. So I've been digging through them through, like, hex editors, going back to my edit FAQ that, thank God, I made a long-ass time ago. It's because it's actually helped me trying to read this shit, which I found out a bunch of new stuff with it as well, and I've been updating it as I go. But I still haven't gotten any of it to work correctly because something is fucked up in the header, and I'm not sure what. I need to figure out how to fix it. Because there's some really awesome edits I want to play. So that was about most of my week. And then I decided to check to see how much... Well, because I saw the Labo VR kits coming out this following week. So I was like, okay, well... It
seems so soon. Like,
let's see how much the other Labo kits are. Because I know they're coming down in price and stuff. So I found the robot kit for $29.99. It actually ended up getting, I think, for $25 after I think I had a coupon or something on there. But $25 for the robot kit. I was like, oh, can't beat it for that price. That's kind of worth it. So I went ahead and picked that up. So I've been building that. I started that today. And then I pre-ordered the VR kit that'll be coming next week because Yeah, my kids like playing with the VR stuff, and I hate having to set up the PlayStation VR for them all the time. So I was like, well, I'll just build this, and they can shove their head in the butt of a bird. So we'll be doing that. And then what else? I played a little bit of Ingress today just because I was trying to report a Pokestop for being in the wrong spot. And you can't do that in Pokemon Go, and apparently I can't do it in Ingress either. But
you have to download Scanner Redacted, and you can still do it there.
Okay,
which is the 1.0 Ingress.
Because they had it was the Arcade Creek Trail, and they had the lizard marked there, which there is a lizard. It's a big cement lizard, but it was several, like, tens of feet away from where it actually is. It's in a completely wrong spot. So I was going to report it, but I did.
Download the Scanner Redacted app, and since you made your account before Prime, you can sit. Now, if you're a brand new agent, you can't use Scanner Redacted because they're trying to prevent people making new accounts to spoof and things. But since you had an existing account, you can do it.
Yeah, so I may get around to that, or I just may not give a shit. But it was in the right spot at one time, so it's like it got moved. I don't know how.
That's weird. Shenanigans. I don't like that.
It's awfully conveniently close to a mobile home park where maybe someone's living in couch portaling.
Send me info on that portal, and we'll get it fixed.
But anyway, so yeah, I did that and played Pokemon Go a little bit So I'm going to be... I wanted to, and like... I must have been half asleep last night when I decided to order. I ordered another docking station for my Switch because I was like, I'm going to take it apart and I'm going to use this to be able to. And then, of course, my dumb brain today is like, you idiot. You can't hack that apart to make it allow you to stream from handheld mode because the damn thing's going to think it's docked and it's not going to work. So that's kind of the frustration because I wanted to like actually do some streaming from the VR thing to show like what it looks like, but you can't because fucking Switch can't stream in handheld mode. So what are you gonna do? So yeah, I guess I'll just have to find something else to do instead. I'll play some Borderlands.
All right.
Yeah, that's it.
My gaming week. So I actually officiated my first wedding yesterday. So I do weddings now, if you're curious, at least in California. I'm sure it's probably not that hard to do in other states. But so that took up a lot of my time this weekend. However, I have been playing some other games, including Beat Saber. I played a little bit this week because I had not gotten around yet to the official Volume 1 DLC pack. And they put out that that crab song. Whatever that April Fool's thing was, like a year ago, it was like this crab song that they put in Beat Saber that you can play. So, I also like the coloring in it because they use blue and green as the colors instead of the blue and red that most songs do. So, yeah, that was fun. I liked playing that. So, I played a little bit of that. And then I played some of the DLC songs because I downloaded that because I have Beat Saber on PlayStation 4. So, I was playing some of those songs and, just enjoying expanding the original library of songs. Not that the songs are bad, but now they're starting to sort them out a little bit too. So, like, instead of just having a big song list, you have like official Volume 1 soundtrack, add-on songs or whatever it's called, and then like DLC 1 and so on and so on. So, I've been playing that. And then I've been playing Final Fantasy 14 just a little bit, kind of got sucked back into that after the Stormblood story patch. And for no good reason, I pushed my White Mage all the way to level 70. So that's my fourth job at max level behind Astrologian, Bard, and Red Mage. So now I have Astrologian, Bard, Red Mage, White Mage all at 70. No tank at 70 yet, and I don't know if I'll bother taking a tank that high because I'm not that big a fan of tanking. But I guess, if anything, I like Dark Knight of the tanks, but we'll see. So, did you want to say something on?
I actually just remembered the other thing I was going to do for gaming is I'm going to go back to Star Trek Online.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
going
to cancel the WoW and everything and go back to Star Trek Online.
I'd be curious how that game kind of sizes up now compared to when it was first out.
They've been incorporating more characters and have from the TV series and have the actors back as voice actors.
Oh, that's cool.
So I didn't mean to derail your segment, but
no,
I thought that since you're talking about MMOs that
that's
might
not
be
the first time.
Too.
It's fine. And I do it to you, too. Yeah. All right. Dr. Tetsuya in chat says, oh, speaking of Diablo 3, Rob, I sent you something on Switch. I apologize. I haven't checked Diablo 3 on Switch in a long time, but I should probably get on that. Would be nice to roll a Season 16 character. But one more game that I played this week that I think is kind of a big deal, IDK. I play Borderlands, which, you know, is not a game I've played. I've played it before a little bit, but I haven't played, like, a lot of it. But I downloaded the remaster because I had it on Steam anyway, the original. And if you had the original Game of the Year edition, which I'm sure a lot of people bought for, like, $5 or $10.
Yeah, I just saw, like, I saw, what was it, the pre-sequel and stuff was, you know, discounted. I'm like, oh, I should buy the pre-sequel. Then I looked at my library. I'm like, oh, I already have it.
Yeah, right, right. So I looked at my library, and then now there's Borderlands GOTY, and then there was, sure enough, Borderlands GOTY. Enhanced. And I was like, cool. So I downloaded the enhanced one, and originally it wanted to set my configuration for 1080p, and I was like, no, I know my video card can do better than that. So it was doing ultra settings at 1080p, so I kicked it down to high settings on 2K. Obviously, my video card's not quite good enough to do full 4K, but it's 2K, and that works. The game runs very smoothly, and it looks really good on PC. The art style of the – you know how Borderlands has the very strong outlines – in a lot of the art that it does. It really pops, you know, in that high resolution. It is funny, though, because you definitely notice the parts of the game that aren't in 2K or 4K, namely anything pre-rendered. So, like, the little introduction videos. So I've played through the intro of the game, and I did the first boss or whatever, Nine Toes. So I killed Nine Toes, and when it did the whole, like, introduction, like, it suddenly switches to a video, and you can tell, like, there's, like, it looks kind of a little more grainy and not quite the same, and I was like, oh, okay. But, you know, obviously that's a very minor complaint. It's not even really a complaint because the game is how old, but it's fun to explore it again, and I feel like in some ways I've gotten a little better at shooters on the PC, and I think, because I remember I used to be very much, like, I only wanted to do shooters with a controller because of stuff like Halo that I you know, had grown up on or whatever. But thanks to things like Overwatch and other shooters I've been playing on PC, like, I feel very comfortable playing Borderlands on PC with keyboard and mouse. So
yeah. Remember how it was the opposite in Final Fantasy XI, where I played everything on a controller, including my macros, as a healer?
Well, you know, in Final Fantasy XIV, some people play controller on computer, and it's totally... Like, but that game was kind of built for a controller. Not so much 11. A little bit. Well, no, a little bit, because it was on the PlayStation 2 in Japan, and not everybody had that, you know?
So. Yeah, and honestly, for the longest time, I was strict to controller. I mean, Rob came and saw me play using my little shoulder buttons for my macros. And,
yeah, it works.
But, I don't know, it's kind of funny how people kind of turn around on what they play on.
It does, yeah, yeah. Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I think Borderlands still has an aim assist on PC, which helped me. That is true. The aim assist is still there. Obviously, I'm using it. No shame in that. The Nine Toes guy killed me once because he has two little adds or whatever. And so I had to do that
Does
fight.
Does he have nine toes?
Apparently, he has nine toes and three balls. That's what the intro says. There's a lot of straight bro humor in the game in Borderlands that I just kind of go... Whatever.
Well, I'd find it more questionable if he had a camel toe.
So anyway, but whatever. I think the game is it's fun to play. I like the questing system. Feels like an MMO, really. So it's kind of it's fun. So I'll probably play some more of it. I want to play some more of it and see, you know, where the story goes. And because I've never really touched the second game, and, you know, if I really enjoy it, maybe I'll even buy the third game when it comes out. So
I'm definitely buying the third game.
But I want to let y'all know I finally am getting around. And I played a little bit of Borderlands before, but it was just like, oh, I'm terrible at shooters. This is bad. But I don't know. I'm approaching this with some more years of gaming of different types under my belt. And I'm kind of like into it right now. Mm-hmm. And it looks very nice with the enhanced version. So kudos so far. So Bobby Blackwell says, will you buy the third game in September or in April? I'm not going to buy the third game unless I actually make it through the first two. Isn't that fair?
Three.
Well, do you have to play pre-sequel?
Pre-sequel's pretty fun.
Is it? All right. Well, then I guess I have three to play. So, I don't know.
We'll never
I haven't
see
played
Rob
the pre-sequel
again.
Yet.
All right. Well, we need to get into the news a little bit and talk about why Bobby is asking that question. Real quick, this is where I usually plug our social media. So follow us on Twitter at OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. We are no longer on Google Plus. Google Plus is officially dead. Rest in peace. All right, let's get to the news, starting off with the big decision, when to buy Borderlands, right?
Yeah, so Borderlands, they did a second, because you may remember the original announcement that they did at PAX East. They had more details coming, you know, next week. And so the more details that were coming, it's going to be an exclusive game to the Epic Game Store for 6 months. It's going to be launching September 13th, and then you'll be able to buy it elsewhere April 2020. And it's also going to be out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And, of course, a lot of people aren't very happy about this, mainly because the Epic Store is very bare bones and is missing a lot of the things that you would expect from a storefront, including, you know, being able to put stuff in a shopping cart. And, you know, I don't even know if do they have friends list. I mean, they have friends list,
yeah,
but
friends
they,
list, yeah.
They don't have a lot of most of the bare bones things.
I would say it is bare bones, but also I would say it's progressed since it first came out. They're still updating it, and who knows where we're going to be in September. September's
true.
Still a ways out.
So, of course, since
just quickly, though, I can understand the frustration, though, where it's like, I have Borderlands 1 and 2 on Steam, and now I'm going to have to go to this store to get Borderlands 3, and it's, you know, going to be a little bit different. Of course, tell that to all the Bayonetta fans, right? I have to buy a Wii U or a Switch if I want to play Bayonetta 2, even if I played the first Bayonetta on Xbox 360 or wherever, the multitude of places where the first Bayonetta came out.
It's on PC now.
Not Bayonetta 2.
Right.
The first Bayonetta is, but not Bayonetta 2. You got to get a Switch
so
at this point.
Because the Epic Game Store is still so bare bones that there is no way to leave reviews on any game there, people have turned to Steam to go express their frustrations by review bombing, of course, the other Borderlands games. And, you know, Steam is very fond of that happening. So
Steam's really not getting a lot of good news with this, because not only do they not get the game, but then now all the users are going to shit on the store for Borderlands 1 and 2.
Right. So that sucks. But I know that they had talked about ways to prevent review bombing. So we'll see how that ends up working out. But I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah, it's annoying that the only thing Epic's doing right now seems like to try to drive people to their platform. Well, a couple things. I guess they're lowering the price, which is why, or the cut that they take, which is why these big game companies are kind of going their way. Because I'm sure they're getting money thrown at them. Plus, they're also getting more profit off of everything. So, of course, they want to make as much money as possible. I think originally the plan was more of to try to drive, you know, indies to their platform, but whatever. It is what it is.
Free games they give away is nothing to balk
right,
at
no,
either.
That's nice. And it's to me, it's kind of like Uplay and stuff like that, or like even EA Service and Origin. You just have to have it for certain games, whether you like it or not. And I think this is kind of like this. If I want to play this game on PC at launch, I just have to. I already have Epic installed, so it's not a big deal.
To be honest, I have Origin, you know, love it or hate it, which it's come a long way. But I have Origin installed because that was the only way I was going to be able to play Mass Effect Andromeda on PC, as well as got a sweet deal on Titanfall 2. You know, there's certain things that you can only get on Origin that
yeah.
have to do with EA and BioWare and that type of thing.
And can't you put like external games
Apex.
Into your
You have to have Origin for Apex.
Yeah, and can't you put external games into your Steam library anyways?
Because
I thought
yes,
they have
can,
ways
because
to launch them. So, I mean, I'm sure that if this is any other game out there, you can have an executable that's straight. You don't have to launch it through the Epic storefront. I'm pretty sure that you can just have an executable shortcut or something and just
way that it works for Origin is that it will open when you have the link to the game, it will open Origin and then open the game but run it through Steam so that you can do your screenshots and everything through the Steam platform.
Oh wow.
Because that's how I got all of my stuff from my LOL effect, which I've kind of let fall to the wayside.
Right. Well, the game's been out a long time now. You've probably screen capped almost everything you can.
I've had drama that's kept me from posting and being sick and family members dying and
I see.
Stuff. So
yeah, speaking of Mass Effect, not to like completely 180 this conversation, but I noticed Alan was like he was reinstalling Mass Effect the other night, and I'm like, what's going on? He's like, there's some new mod that came out that I want to check out. So I think they have like another new graphics mod or something. And so now I see him because, you know, remember, Alan will get obsessed with one game at a time. One game at a time. And
it's nice to be able to have that kind of restraint.
Yes,
I don't have that kind of restraint.
I know he's the complete polar opposite. He just so like Dark Souls has been his thing for a long time. Overwatch, he still kind of plays off and on. This is the one that surprised me. Do you know what game has been like his late? Like it's all he's been playing lately? Dead Island. of like all the games in the universe.
The first one?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a combination of the series, but mostly the first one. Like, that's what he's kind of been into lately.
Hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, not to knock that game. I know some of y'all are big fans.
Well, there was...
By the way, whatever happened to Dead Island 2? Wasn't that like supposed to be out by now?
I think Dead Island 2 already came out.
No, I don't think it ever did. There was like a Dead Island, like, expansion for the first game or something. It was just built on the first game. But remember,
Says it's upcoming on Wiki.
Yeah, they showed a trailer for Dead Island 2, like,
in 2014.
Yeah, I was like the last time I went to E3.
Oh yeah,
I saw that Dead Island 2.
That was
trailer.
A long time ago.
Yeah, right. That game never came out.
Well, there's a rumor on this E3 like thing about with some pre-alpha footage on it. Saying that it's supposed to, that the release date's going to be announced at E3.
Well, then they have like a, what was the other Dead game? There was another Dead by Dawn, but like there was a...
Oh, like not a Dead Island, but like a Dead...
It was that free running game. I can't remember the hell yeah. It's called, but they had like a couple sequels of that. Yeah. I thought that was made this... I don't know. They're all... Maybe stop making zombie games because I can't tell them apart, okay? Maybe you should stop doing it.
Right, I did not mean to 180 the conversation, but we got on a tangent train as we sometimes do. Let's have the chat bring us back. ActDev says Dead Island Riptide. No, that was kind of it was like the first game like after bit because you just started at level 40 or you could import your characters in the first game. It wasn't a true sequel. Dead Island Riptide was not the true sequel, but good point. The Breakman says, is Dead Island any good? And Questbuster says, it's good now. It was pretty broken on release. And that's pretty much everything I've heard, too. And knowing Alan, he's probably modded the fuck out of the game. I'll bet you anything what got him on it, there's probably some graphic mod for the game that got him into it in the
first
place.
Maybe he should join up with Minecraft.
Just knowing Alan as well as I do. So YYR is kind of fed up a little bit here, saying, I'm just fed up with apps and launchers. I basically refuse to play anything that would require me to download an app or get another launcher. I have enough accounts. I don't want any more. Since I play mostly niche stuff, I haven't really been affected by any of this yet. But if someone releases their game on the Epic Store, good for them, but I'll never play it. Isn't it? And I might be wrong. I don't. To be honest, I've never bought anything on the Epic Store. I have a nice collection of the free stuff and Fortnite, but that's about it. So, I mean, at least I've bought things in Origin. I haven't bought anything yet on the Epic Store personally. But because we were just kind of talking about the launcher loading in the background. If I get a game like, say, Super Meat Boy that I got for free or whatever on Epic Game Store, if I just run that executable, doesn't it not go through the store? Like, maybe you don't have to use
the
launcher?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I had it already on there when I was trying out development in Unreal Engine, so I already have it on there for that. Right now, it's just to grab the free game of every couple weeks or whatever that they put out.
And Bobby's correcting me. It does still launch the Epic Game Store in the background. All right, fair enough. It's so, probably must check to make sure you bought it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so, I mean, whatever. I haven't really purchased anything from the Epic Game Store. I have looked at the new game that they have from Coffee Scene Studios. I may pick up that one. But so far, I haven't purchased anything from there.
All right. Well, let's move on and talk about... what's going on with the Switch Online Retro service. So Switch Online has been adding more NES games every month. And some of the latest games that will be coming to the Switch in April of 2019 on the 10th. So what, next week, I think? Yeah, about 3 days. They've announced the next series of games that's going to come out, which includes Punch-Out. Not the Mike Tyson Punch-Out, because obviously the licensing stuff is gone. Although, I'm sure y'all heard about that tweet where Mike Tyson was like, why am I not in Punch-Out on this? Like, I seriously don't. I don't think Mike Tyson knows that he was taken out of Punch-Out a long time ago. I don't think he knows about Mr. Dream. Shh, don't tell him. I don't know. Anyway, he might bite Mr. Dream's ear off. Also coming out, Star Soldier, kind of a fun little shooter. And then Super Mario Brothers, The Lost Levels. At least that's what they're calling it here in the U.S. And so they actually are giving it the little box, you know, that they kind of created for Super Mario All-Stars, little square box. But what's funny is that when they show the preview movie, they didn't bother to correct the title screen or anything. So when you launch it, it's still just Super Mario Brothers 2. Obviously, the Japanese version of these releases, same thing, Punch-Out, Star Soldier, Super Mario Brothers 2 for them. But, you know, like if you launch our Super Mario Brothers 2 in their Famicom Online, it says Super Mario Brothers USA. They changed the title screen. They didn't do that here. So.
Because they actually did get it released as Super Mario USA there later.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's not really the big news, although it's certainly a part of this as well, is the question people might be asking is, how long is Nintendo going to keep going with this? Like, are they going to release every single NES game, and which honestly would be doubtful due to licensing and, you know, especially when third parties develop the game, where does the money go and all that stuff? So, apparently what's happening over in Hong Kong, some leaflets for the Switch Online service were being distributed. And the leaflets talk about what the Switch Online service includes because, you know, they're trying to sell people on get your, you know, online Nintendo subscription so you can access the classic library. But apparently there's one little section with fine print that says, eventually Nintendo will stop adding new NES games to the collection. But obviously they're not saying when or anything like that. But this... it kind of already has the internet riled up on, oh, the Super Nintendo must be coming because they're saying the Nintendo thing is ending. Well, I mean, the Nintendo...
well, there's only a finite amount of games on the Nintendo, so eventually, yes, it will end.
Yes, and it could be ending in 3 years. Like, it doesn't mean it's going to end by the end
of the
year.
It's because we live in a world where people are going to sue over the fact that Red Bull doesn't give them wings. So, of course, they have to, you know, put the disclaimer in there. Guess what? Eventually, we're not going to be adding games.
To be fair, this was in Hong Kong. I don't know if Hong Kong has a Sue Happy culture like we have here, but I get what you're saying. Of course, I get what you're saying. You have to say the obvious things like that because you're right. People will sue. Well, I've been paying money every month. Where's my new games? Class action lawsuit.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dr. Tsuya in chat says, well, I assume they were not going to end it like next month. But obviously, they won't keep it going forever.
Honestly, they would have made a lot more money if they just done Virtual Console.
You think, huh?
I know.
Well, now especially that they just gave away a year free with Amazon Prime. I mean, obviously, Twitch and Amazon must be kicking them some money, but it's interesting.
They could have made a lot more money. A lot more money. All they need
I'm happy I don't have to drop $5.
They just need to drop the cost of the games down, like, you know, cut down the amount that they were charging for those, because $8 for a Super Nintendo game is just ridiculous, but cut that down to a point that it is like very like $4.99 or something like that, or, you know, cut it down to where it's just like impulse buy. People be eating that shit up.
So Questbuster in chat says there's around 730 officially licensed game on the NES, but I mean, you're assuming they're going to release. I mean, I don't think you specifically are assuming, but like, they're not going to release all 730 games. They're just not. Like, the licensing on too many games is too complicated. For example, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles by Konami, not going to come out. Not going to happen because the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles licensing now is complicated. I don't think Konami owns the license anymore. They haven't for some time. Either EA has it or somebody else has it. And that, I mean, miracles happen because they did release that arcade game on 360 when people didn't think that would happen. But it's going to be much harder for like a classic thing that Nintendo kind of oversees for that to happen. I would say things like The Guardian Legend. As much as Dark Sakura and myself and many of you stand that game hard, I just don't see that game coming out because the license, it's too complicated. Who owns that game now? I think we figured it out.
Whoever owns Bodebrund.
Well, Bodebrund only published it. It's Compile.
Yeah, well, Compile
has figured out the rights in a previous episode, and it's so far like four times removed now at this point.
And then I think I cried.
Yeah.
I might have cried.
So, but I don't, you know, again, miracles happen. But they're just not going to jump through hoops for all 730 games because also, let's be real, some of them were pretty bad. Some of those games were pretty bad. So maybe we don't need all 730. But, yeah, I think, you know, it's inevitable this is going to end. But I would say it's still going to be going at least for a year. I think the thought is that, you know, as far as a Super Nintendo Online or something, that does seem like a very logical kind of next step. Although, you know, Loki, to kind of build on your point, maybe they're going to have the NES library be Netflix style. But maybe the Super Nintendo games they plan to do piecemeal. Maybe we're all assuming there'll be a Super... Or did they say in the earliest, they did say in the earliest press releases that there would be Super Nintendo games, didn't they? In the earliest materials about this online service.
Nah.
I'm trying to remember that far back. And I seem to remember that might have been a part of the conversation.
I don't need the Super Nintendo games to come out because I have a Super SNES Classic.
Bobby's confirming what I just said. They did say, the earliest ones absolutely did say that.
Okay, well, that's cool, but I don't need it because you sold me your systems. Or, you know, you sold me that stuff already, so obviously I already have it and modded it, you know.
SNES Classic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't need your, you know, extra stuff.
Bobby points out the early ones didn't even mention NES games. They only mentioned Super Nintendo games. So it would be interesting if they started to dial back from that now. But I don't think they will. I think most people kind of figure that maybe when this new Switch comes out or whatever, they'll roll out, if rumors are true, they'll roll out the matching Super Nintendo library to go with it. Who knows? But we'll see. Anyway, that's to assume that the Switch Online stays legal, right, Dark Sakura? I guess there's some interesting legal things going on, right?
There is that. Basically, in the UK, the Competition and Markets Authority has opened an investigation against Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony to check on their online service practices to see if they violate a consumer protection law. Consumer law is a lot more of a big thing, I guess, in Europe, Australia, you know, those general areas. But basically, they want to see if it's violating those aspects of their consumer law. They want to know if the auto renewal policies are fair, how easy it is to get a refund or cancel it, and whether or not the terms of services take more power out of the customer's hand and put it into the companies. So basically, they want to make sure that the laws are fair and equal to both company and consumer. It's actually part of a response to a, quote, super complaint on a loyalty penalty, which is basically the tendency for some of the companies to punish long-standing customers by making it difficult or expensive to leave. And so they said the investigation just started, but they may only take enforcement action if they believe the companies are not being fair. The biggest things that have indicated this is becoming a problem is that Sony raised prices for PlayStation Plus. That there is, I mean, just kind of like we were saying, that there's no guarantee that you're going to get the same number of free games or perks for the cost that you're paying for it. And of course, there is auto renewal. For example, like what's going on now with the Switch promotion for Twitch Prime, you have to turn the auto renewal off after your time period is up, or you're going to get charged.
And it's interesting because, you know, this is UK law, so a lot of our normal ways of thinking don't really apply necessarily. But, like, I know this is a super common tactic in the U.S., like when it comes to, let's say, a Spotify. I'll pick on Spotify. You get 99 cents for a month of Spotify, right? But the whole trick is now they got your credit card number, they're going to auto-bill you unless you, like, turn it off. And heck, there's tons of iPhone and Android apps that do this too, right? They'll give away a 7-day preview of like the sleep app that I use will do like a 7-day preview of their mode, but then if you don't turn it off, it will do an auto renew. So like I feel like in our culture that's a thing, like you gotta, like we all know that's a gotcha tactic in a lot of different places, right? Or a gym membership, that's another big one. Sign up for a gym membership for $5, but then after 30 days, oh, it's gonna be the full, you know, $50 a month or whatever it is, right? But yeah, the fact that it's UK law, I can't put myself into the same, like, shoes or whatever. So, but some of our chatters think there might be something here. Breakman in chat says, by British laws, I think they have a chance. I think Microsoft and Sony will lose this, but I don't know how it will affect us in America.
Well, and I will tell you one thing, too, just with some other companies. Like, for example, with the increased stringency of encryption requirements and customer control over their personal online data, because they became so much stringent overseas, that American companies are actually now following suit to match those so that they don't have to worry about what are we doing different here, what are we doing different there. You know, it's going to be universal.
It's why when you go onto all these different websites now, there's a huge fucking thing that says, by using this website, you agree to use cookies. Here's our cookie policy. That's because of something that happened in the UK, not here.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we all kind of get it too, because in the World Wide Web, you know, it kind of has to apply. You know, they set the bar at the most stringent standard, and then the rest of us kind of see the effects of that.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think the auto renewal, you know, it's interesting because, you know, it's a, like when you get your free PlayStation Plus games, let's say, if you don't renew and you're at the mercy of Sony, and everything I'm saying could apply to Microsoft, or I'm not picking on Sony, I'm just using them as an example. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you don't renew, you don't get to play those games anymore that you got for free, and that's part of the agreement. But you're kind of at the mercy of Sony, could kind of kick up the price of that at any time they want to.
Well, the same thing goes for a Spotify subscription or Pandora or Apple Music.
Sure.
It really is quite literally the same thing. It's just for games instead of listening to music. You know, it's really no different. I mean, you know, Pandora could bump up their price or Spotify could bump up their price. And it's really, I mean, it's like that ongoing capitalist inflation cycle where everything else increases, but your money does not. So it's all that.
Akuma JP in chat says, in Japan, we're trying to get rid of auto subscribe and fees for unsubscribe. God, I can't even believe there'd be like fees for unsubscribing. You know what I kind of think is that the thing that frustrates me is that like to get to unsubscribe from some things, you have to like call in, and the thing is only open between like 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. when a lot of people are working or whatever. So sometimes it's like really hard to like cancel something because you can only do it over the phone, even though you can sign up for it online. So I kind of think, and I thought I heard something about the rules moving this way or whatever, is that if you sign up for something online, you ought to be able to cancel online as well. You shouldn't be able to sign up and then not like cancel the same way you signed up. They should only have cancellation over the phone as the only option if subscribing over the phone is the only option. That's the thing that I kind of disagree with. But I thought I heard something about laws were looking into that as well. So YYR in chat says, where are their fees for unsubscribing? It could be in other part. You know, Akuma JP is commenting from Japan. So maybe it's just not something we have here. But
thank God.
I have heard of things like early termination agreements. What, like cell phones? You sign up for
or
a year,
even
you terminate early.
Mortgages, prepayment penalties.
Sure. Or
same kind of same thing.
Gyms, right? For some deals, you have to sign up for a year, and if you break it early, you get a penalty. So, but yeah, I get that. That's kind of, you know, some, and then maybe we kind of sit here going, oh, well, doesn't everybody know that? But, you know, certain cultures may have a different approach. And I think that's also what you're seeing here, is that the UK is starting to look at some things that maybe we've just kind of come to accept as normal in our culture and going, huh, should that really be the way? I don't know. So anyway. All right. Sia Tiberi in chat says, Verizon will never let the government stop that. And Amazon, or ActDeft points out, Amazon used to have a cancellation fee for monthly Prime subscribers, but they got rid of that. And then the Breakman says, rollover contracts are a big no-no in the UK as of the 2015 law. Very interesting how all these, as the world gets more and more closer together through the internet, all these laws in different places kind of set different tones. Very interesting. Anyway.
It's always about consumer advocacy, though. That's very important.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on. For the sake of time, we're going to go to our next topic, Loki.
Yeah, so this is kind of neat. So apparently Microsoft is rolling the Xbox, or they're giving you an option to have basically Xbox Live and Game Pass as one big subscription. So apparently the plan is to merge them into a $15 per month subscription called Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. That'll basically give you both of those services at one cost. Now, apparently the annual, of course, Live Gold membership is $60 and 12 months of Game Pass is $120. So that still works out to $180 per year. So you're not really saving any money that way. But maybe $15 a month, they're kind of poisoning it in a way that, like, hey, you pay like $12 a month for Netflix or whatever, and it's not much more. So maybe that's how they're trying to sell it.
When I first read the article, I was like, oh, this is what they're going to start to move to is the only option. I was like, I've been saying this on OLR forever.
They dropped the price down, like maybe dropped it down to like, say, $12.99 a month or something like that, and then said, look, see, if you sign up for both, you save a little bit. But if you sign up for both, you pay for both. That's not really much of a deal.
But aren't you saying that only if you're paying for like live on a year, if you're paying live month to month, you're still saving money, aren't you?
Right, but you're always going to be saving a month, even just paying it for a year. So I don't know.
Depends on how you want to do it. But I've been kind of sitting here going, it's only a matter of time before they just kind of loop Game Pass and Gold into the same thing. And this feels like a step in that direction, even though, you know, the finances and all that get tricky. Or, and I do think, you know, they're not going to be able to easily convince people to do this if they can't get the price of Game Pass as low as the price
maybe
of Gold.
Maybe this could be per month, and then if they have like a year subscription to this, it's even less. You know, maybe they could do something like that.
Maybe.
I can understand that might be a little bit more enticing because it's like, oh, hey, you know, I can get both these services for less than I'm, you know, paying for them month to month or something like that. I just don't see the advantage of just putting the prices together.
It's if you're doing it month to month, and YYR points out if you're paying month to month, $15 a month is a 25% savings over subscribing to both individually. But if you're paying $60 a year, then it's the same price.
So unless they get rid of Gold and just have that is this is your only option.
I feel like that, you know, I've been saying that for a long time, but maybe I know we're probably still a little bit away from that, but it'd be very interesting to see, I think, at E3 what Microsoft does to push this further. Are they saying this is going to be a thing at E3 or is it sooner than that?
The thought was that it's supposed to be...
This is rumor, right?
It's supposed to be out around the time when the Xbox One S All Digital Edition is revealed, the thought is. So that, I think, is supposed to happen in a few weeks. So I guess we'll hear about this before E3.
All right. It would be interesting if all this stuff kind of comes out before E3. Moving on to what's been kind of an interesting back and forth this week. Kotaku ran a very interesting piece on BioWare that was really kind of a dragging and exposing of some of the things that went on behind the scenes at Anthem and the development of Anthem and why Anthem may not have turned out to be as wonderful as it did. I'm not going to really try to summarize the article. If you want to go read it, you can. I would say what I took away from this, and maybe some of you in chat feel different, but it really sounds like they shifted development in the last year and a half, which I feel like we hear about games all the time, and I would say Final Fantasy 15 was another one of those games. They just took the wheel and changed development in the last year and a half, and that's one of the reasons. But it sounds like the biggest reason Anthem had problems was that they were forced to use the Frostbite engine. It really sounds like that Frostbite engine is not doing BioWare any favors, because it sounds like I'm hearing a lot of the same stuff out of what happened with Mass Effect Andromeda and so on. Anyway, but the complicated stuff that happened. So Kotaku put out their story, and then like 15 minutes after the fact, BioWare put out a thing that basically was like, you know, we don't agree and da da da. And it was very kind of generic and didn't really speak specifically to the piece. Like, they knew it was coming, but they didn't know specifically what was in it. And obviously if Kotaku had asked BioWare to comment on it, then they probably knew it was coming. Well, a secondary piece kind of came out, and Casey Hudson, I believe, wrote this piece to something they sent to the whole staff. And, of course, emails leaked from within. What a shock. And part of the letter says, what we found out of bounds was the naming of specific developers as targets for public criticism. Because Kotaku does try to kind of draw this line of, this particular individual came in, and then development kind of shifted. So it did kind of... I did find it to be maybe finger pointing a little bit, but I didn't see it as a negative. I kind of felt like it might be that this guy saw this machine that was rolling in like all these different directions and had to put it on course because it was spiraling out of control or something. It sounds like there's a lot of other issues going into this that are more complex than a 3-hour show can handle. But what's also interesting is Kotaku kind of notes at the end of the letter, they said that they've heard from a number of developers who work or have worked at beloved AAA game studios with messages like, replace BioWare with my studio, and it's the same story. And these are things like crunch hours, just things, the left hand not knowing what the right hand is doing, rivalries between studios that are in different cities, and like all of these things are just like really, really messy. And I don't know. Like, I think we all have been sitting here going, the gaming industry is going to crack under some of this at some point. And I don't know if it's the AAA gaming that is going to be looking at streaming as a primary thing that's going to cause some things to crack, or if game developers do cross that bridge and they form a big game developer union. I mean, Hollywood has unions.
They need to unionize, like, major.
Hollywood has Screen Actors Guild, Writers Guild. I mean, right? So it would be, now it's SAG-AFTRA. It's because it's not just the screen actors and the play actors combined. And voice actors right, are part of that as well.
Part of SAG-AFTRA.
Which have affected gaming in the past.
Yes, it has.
And they have very specific rules they have to follow. So anyway, I know that's a really kind of like controversial thing, but I think a lot of us are sitting here going, this whole like gaming crunch time and the way games are being developed, like, it ain't working, y'all. And especially when you look at Anthem, I mean, some people are still, you know, defending Anthem and having a good time playing it. And if you're having a good time with Anthem, go you. Have fun. But I'm hearing some challenges about what to do at the end of Anthem and that it seems like it might be a little bit short-sighted. And I feel like this is a broken record. There's so many of these games that have been in development for years. Well, we just joked about Dead Island 2, right?
Yeah.
They probably haven't started the real development on Dead Island 2 yet.
They've...
And they're going to crunch to get it out by the end of a fiscal year. Mm. So, anyway, Kaijudo in chat says, if they make a union, I hope they name it the Multiplayers. Unions don't really get very cute names. It'll probably be something very, very plain. Let's see. ActDef says, I hate it's the people running the unions that may be bad. Unions aren't a bad thing. And devs should definitely form one. Don't know if the U.S. has a similar law, but in Mexico, you have the right to start a union. Yeah, you have the right to start a union. It's just some companies will go so far as to show you movies on your first day on why it's a bad idea. Sometimes happens. So anyway, YYR in chat says, and this is why I develop games in my spare time and refuse to actually try to do it for a living. Sorry that you're all still waiting for the new Bungie Ferret Tossing, but it's not ready. And that's okay. YYR, when it's ready, it's ready. And that's cool. I mean, you got new baby and all that stuff. You're busy. It's fine. Well, it's done when it's done, right? Just like we've gotten used to with a lot of Blizzard games. Just like we get used to with a lot of movies. It's done when it's done, right? And that's A-okay. So, what was I going to say with the whole, that whole tangent about the development needing to take its time? I lost my train of thought, but I think, you know, it's going to get worse in some ways when the graphics are pushed even further as we move into the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox, you know, whatever the next Xbox is. I feel like something's going to give here. It's just this industry really can't keep going the way it's going. And people need to be held accountable for some of these really fucking bad decisions that happen. Because from my perspective and looking at all this, like I feel like truly the bottom line in this whole thing on why these games are not turning out as good as they could be is that they're being forced to use the Frostbite engine because of some type of company, you know, because EA is making them do it. Like the real enemy in this whole thing between Mass Effect Andromeda and maybe the next Dragon Age and Anthem is the Frostbite engine. So you know what, EA? It is time to let that engine go. And if your developers want to make a game in Unity, fucking let them. Fucking let them. Why are you tied? Like, you're going to go like that. Do you want that Frostbite engine to be the hill that you die on? Because so far, it's not looking good.
Unless they have some sort of exclusivity contract. And they're stuck to it.
But what I'm saying is that contract is garbage and is sinking those games. And they need to end that contract. Or whatever it is.
But companies don't think that way. They think of immediate and not long term.
I know. Anyhow, let's move on. We got plenty more show to cover.
All right. Well, how about loot boxes? I know we always seem to come back to them, right?
How about no loot boxes?
Well, anyway, the Federal Trade Commission is going to be holding a public workshop on August 7th, 2019 at the Constitution Center in Washington, D.C. It will be webcast on the FTC's website. But the workshop is called Inside the Game, Unlocking Consumer Issues Surrounding Loot Boxes, to, quote, examine consumer protection issues related to video game loot boxes, in-game rewards players can buy while playing a video game. So this is what they want to do. They want to include industry representatives, consumer advocates, trade associations, academics, and government officials to discuss these following things. So it's the in-game transition landscape, including origin and evolution of loot boxes and their role in gameplay in the digital marketplace. And this is actually bullet points from their thing.
I was just going to say, Bobby is suggesting this webcast should include one slide with one word. Don't.
Research examining consumer behavior, including child and adolescent behavior, in the context of video games and digital transactions, and a discussion of consumer awareness and education about in-game digital transactions, including the mechanics, marketing, and financial commitments associated with loot boxes. They're also saying that the public can submit their input on those topics by emailing lootboxworkshop@ftc.gov up until June 7th of this year.
So there you go. You can send your email. Subject, loot boxes, don't. Message, don't.
There's also a online comic, comment forum on the FTC website, which I will be linking in chat.
Oh, good.
And, but it's, I'll just go ahead and read it. It's regulations.gov/docket? D equals FTC dash 2019-0021.
I imagine most of you will just Google it.
Whatever. I just said it because it was a short one. It wasn't all crazy. But yeah, it's basically you can comment on the document. There's nothing supporting right now. But the final on that page is the document for, you know, their proposal on here for that workshop. And just taking a quick glancey over on it. Why does everything from the FTC have to be in Microsoft Word format? So basically, yeah, it's a lot of what I said, but it talks about like what a loot box is, you know, why people have concerns about it, and basically some of the goals of it. And again, it's free to the public.
I think it would be interesting to read this, and I might have to go in and do it later just to see how it's been dumbed down for government officials.
There's also a media contact listed in here.
Fun.
So...
All right. Well, I imagine many of you are running to the forum right now to simply post, don't. Does anyone enjoy loot boxes?
Sometimes they're kind of fun if you're guaranteed something nice.
All right.
I mean, I didn't mind it so much in, like, Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, but I got kind of tired of it. Yeah. I prefer finding, you know, being able, like, to win currency in my game instead of getting a box for it. Because, I mean, that's 90% of... You know, I saved my points and got stuff instead of just paying into them. But there are people who will pay into it to get the biggest and bestest.
I like in Forza where it's like you kind of have a wheel that you spin, but you'll get everything eventually. You know what I mean? Like if they want to hand it out in a random order, then fine. You know, I don't know. But anyway, Akuma JP in chat says free loot box. I don't mind. You know, when it's free and you get them as a part of the playing through the game. Sure. I think that's why a lot of people kind of give Overwatch some slack, because Overwatch is kind of constantly handing out free loot boxes between the holidays and every time you level up and all that stuff. So I think that's why some people kind of let that one slide. I don't know. Anyway, moving on. We still have some more gaming stories for you guys. Loki.
All right. Well, something coming from yet another Battle Royale game, but... taking a page out of Apex Legends, Fortnite has decided to add reboot vans, which apparently is very similar to the respawn beacons that you have in Apex Legends. But, of course, now they're just kind of skinning it for Fortnite. So that's a new update that's going to be coming very soon as well to kind of mix up the game a little bit. And they kind of do something like about once a month anyways to kind of mix the game up. So I'm not surprised that... You know, one game's cribbing off of another game for gameplay ideas. That's what they're all doing.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting now to see how, like, you know, Fortnite, that's been kind of leading things, is kind of taking some cues now from Apex, which I don't... Has Apex overtaken Fortnite at this point, or is it still kind of like a back and forth? I haven't been watching the Twitch rankings that closely, and I know that's just one representation of how the games might actually be doing when it comes to the money they're making and so forth. So,
yeah.
But... I mean, I think it sounds interesting. I don't know. I still just, when it comes to Fortnite, like the building thing, I've never been able to wrap my head around how the building works. Like what, like strategically how you like do that in Fortnite. Because Fortnite has like no tutorial. And so I've never really been able to figure out how to use that effectively.
You can do the creative mode, which...
You know what's funny? And I have played around because I went to go look at the Weezer thing at one point. And, like, you know, the creative mode's kind of fun. I like that. But then when I don't know what the building in combat... I don't know. I haven't been able to wrap my head around that. But the building stuff isn't in Apex. So in some ways, it's kind of easier, I think. So,
yeah.
All right. Bobby Blackwell says, in Fortnite, when you shoot someone, they turn into a 10-story building. Yeah. Or they try to hide themselves inside a 10-story building so that you can't shoot them, I suppose. All right, anyway. One more story for you guys before we get to the classic game of the week, and it has to do with some Best Buy leaks. So who knows if they're true or not, but they're talking about some things I think a lot of us have been waiting for. Well, anyway, apparently these were on internal employee terminals suggesting that Persona 5 was about to get a Switch release for $60. they didn't have a date on it. It just was in the system. You know how that goes. Somebody made a record in the system. You know how that goes. Remember Walmart Canada and E3 last year? Yeah. Metroid Prime Trilogy was another one. And I think a lot of us have been kind of asking, oh, when is that going to come out on Switch? So that might actually be a thing. But then the other surprise in there was The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. Wait a minute. Why? That's the Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
Why would the Super Nintendo game be released by itself? Unless either Nintendo does plan to piecemeal this, despite their earlier marketing about, you know, the NES and the Super Nintendo being separate. Or could they, since they're making this Link's Awakening game in a 3D environment that looks a lot like A Link to the Past but 3D, could they possibly, maybe, be remaking A Link to the Past as well? That's what some people are theorizing with this.
Hmm.
How would you guys feel about a Link to the Past remake in that 3D style that they're doing this Awakening remake in?
Nah.
I need
my pixels.
I'm open to it. Like, the Secret of Mana remake was all right, but the original is still, like, the one. Like, if I'm like, you've never played Secret of Mana, I'm going to pull up the original. Like, the 3D remake was cool in some ways, but it also had issues when it first came out. I don't know if you guys remember, but Secret of Mana kind of had some issues when it first came out. So, I don't know. But Nintendo usually does not put out a game.
Yeah,
I would trust Nintendo's quality a little bit more than probably anybody else. So, anyway. Let's see. Breakman says, I want a VR-style remake. Well, be careful what you ask for. Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf says, what if the remake also has Metroid and has a randomizer? You're on. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. Although, God, I wish Nintendo would go down that path. Can you even imagine? You know what I want? I want a new remix game, like NES Remix. And wasn't there an SNES Remix at one point? I don't remember.
No, there wasn't.
Then I want an SNES Remix. I want those games to come back out. Those were fun. Anyway, all right, let's move on to the classic game of the week. Every week here on the show, Dark Soccer steps in the gaming vault to find a game that she thinks, hey,
sticky,
you guys should be checking out this classic game.
Oh my God, the cat threw up.
And you know, sometimes Dark
Soccer... That's what I say in the vault.
Sometimes Dark Soccer will pick pretty obscure Japanese titles you probably never played. Like last week was one of those titles, right?
It wasn't very obscure. Yeah, it was.
But this week, she's picking a game that I owned. It's not this is a little bit more of one that you guys
and
probably could
honestly,
play.
Honestly, act deft, this goes out to you. Bam. Oh,
what is the classic game of the week?
Actually, finger trick. It is Kirby Superstar, because it's so much fun. I've decided that my first tattoo might actually be Kirby riding the star.
Oh, cute.
It might be, if I don't get my cherry blossom. But anyway, in PAL regions, it was released as Kirby's Fun Pack, and it came out in 1996, so the year I moved out here.
The year I graduated high school.
Girl. I should take that back. No, I moved out here. Did I move out here in 96? I don't remember. And I think I moved out here in 98.
Anyway.
Whatever. Anyway, it was developed by HAL Laboratories and published by Nintendo for the Super Nintendo. And it was part of the entire Kirby series. It basically was advertised as featuring 8 games, 7 short sub-games with all the same basic gameplay and 2 mini-games. It was later released on Wii and Wii U, and there's an enhanced remake called Kirby Superstar Ultra. It came out on the DS in 2008. Also, Nintendo re-released Kirby Superstar in Japan, US, and Europe September 2017 as part of the Super NES Classic Edition, which I think I played quite a bit of that during the time. Anyway, you play as Kirby, who can float and inhale stuff and spit them out. If he swallows certain enemies, he gains their abilities and can use them as his own. Another feature of this particular game is helpers. So when Kirby has an ability, he can transform it into a helper character that the second player or computer can control. And certain abilities, like Crash or the Mike, cannot be turned into helpers. So you have to choose to give the helper a form or revert them into a power-up in an emergency. So some of them, like Wheelie, allow Kirby to interact with them during two-player play. So basically, if it takes too much damage, then Kirby can grant it a new power before it disappears, and he has to create a new one. And if Kirby takes too much damage, he loses a life. So there are a few, the different ones in here are Spring Breeze, which is a simplified remake of Kirby's Dream Land, but it has the superstar enhancements in it. So basically you have to make it to a castle to challenge King Dedede, who has stolen food from Dreamland. And also Float Islands and Castle Lololo have merged, and Kabula does not appear. And then when you reach Castle DDD, you don't have to do a boss rush to get to King DDD. Dynablade is an original one where you have to stop Dynablade, which is a giant bird, from disturbing Dreamland's crops. It's all about food, isn't it, Kirby? So you have four layers that you have to play, and then you face off against Dynablade. And you have two secret areas and mini bosses that move around the world map in this one. Gourmet Race. Jeez, even more food. So you have to race against King DDD while eating as much food as you can. So you take it takes place across three levels of different links. And whoever earns the most points by the end of all three levels, with the bonus point being the first to finish each race. And so then you can choose to race King DDD or your ghost to be the best at that. And the DS actually had multiplayer functionality in this one. Then we have the Great Cave Offensive, which is a Metroidvania-style game, where Kirby has to explore a cave for treasure. And so you have 60 treasure chests, and you get a maximum score of, it looks like, 9,999,990 points and 60 treasures. It also has references to other Nintendo games like the Triforce, the Screw Attack, the helmet of Captain Falcon and Mr. Saturn from Earthbound. And then you've got like other value items that appear like in other role-playing games. And you have the Revenge of Meta Knight, which basically has Kirby trying to destroy Meta Knight's battleship, the Halberd, before Meta Knight can conquer Dreamland. You have a time limit, and it will cost you a life if it hits zero. And it is very apparently plot-based. So then we also have Milky Way Wishes, which is the largest game in the collection. Basically, the sun and the moon around Planet Popstar are fighting, and a creature named Marx tells Kirby that he must travel across nine planets to restore a giant wish-granting comet Nova, Comet Clock Nova. So unlike this one, Kirby can't copy the enemies. He can get copy essences deluxe, and then he can choose a copy ability from the list, and then he has it through the game. Beating Milky Way Wishes grant you the arena subgame, and the arena is an endurance mode that's a big boss rush. You fight basically every boss. There are 26 bosses in 19 rounds, and in between each round you have a room with maximum tomatoes, five of them, which can only be used once each. And then two randomly selected pedestals will give you certain powers. You can choose any of the powers at the beginning of the game. And then if you beat that, you get the sound test function, so you can listen to all the music in the game. There are some sub-games like Samurai Kirby, where it's a timing-based mini-game like Quick Draw from Kirby's Adventure, where you have to do the attack at just the right moment.
It's Wild Gunman, basically.
And then Megaton Punch, which is what I did yesterday. Anyway, you have to punch a crack in the planet, and you have to make a bigger crack. The point is crack, Rob.
Yes.
Anyway, this is one of those games that had a special chip for it. It's the SA-1 chip. And with this particular one, it was basically just to be able to, help with some of the computer-generated imagery, like what was in the introduction. And they had some other things that were planned for the game. And of course, Sakurai, who also did give us Smash Brothers, was developing the game using three different design pillars, as he said it. A two-player co-op gameplay, beat-em-up gameplay, and an omnibus format that you could use it to reach an ending. And actually, it was that last... the two-player co-op, I believe, was requested by Miyamoto. And then a couple of the other things that were wanted to be in the game was one called Kagero Mansion, which was a survival horror game that leaves Kirby stuck in a mansion with a curse sealing his mouth.
Yikes.
So he cannot use his inhale or copy ability. And then, it was meant to, be a little bit more proactive in the gameplay, but they didn't want to to do it, so basically. But it was when it was sold in Japan, it was sold in a package resembling a wooden box with the seal burnt off. And it's like buying high-priced sake or dishware comes in one of those boxes, luxury items. So the design was supposed to be like a luxury item box. So anyway, with the remake version, which came out in 2008, so it's still under that 10-year thing, it has different modes in it for Kirby Superstar Ultra. There's Revenge of the King, which is a more difficult version of Spring Breeze, where you fight a stronger King DDD, which is Masked DDD. And in this one, Kabula appears, and you have to face using Starship Kirby. And you also have a boss rush. And they're all powered up on top of that. Then you have Meta Nightmare Ultra, which you control Meta Knight. And he plays through the levels on Spring Breeze, Dynablade, The Great Cave Offensive, Revenge of Metadite, and Milky Way Wishes. And at the end of Milky Way Wishes, instead of fighting Marks, he fights Galactonite. Helper to Hero is also like an arena mode, but you play as a helper and fight a new character, Wham Bam Jewel. True Arena is an enhanced arena. You've got like all your extra bosses in that one. And then you have the sub-games. Snack Tracks, Kirby Swipe, Kirby and Kirby on the Draw, which can be played up to 4 players. A local play. Anyway, it was pretty rad. You know, people liked it, and it sold over 1 million copies in Japan, and it received fairly favorable ratings, and a lot of people considered it one of the best games in the franchise. It got really great reviews in EGM back then, Electric Gaming Monthly. GamePro gave it a 5 out of 5 in sound and control, and Fun Factor got a 4.5 out of 5. And it was really considered just a very charming and fun little game. Famitsu gave it 32 out of 40. And in 2008, Superstar Ultra became a Famitsu Gold title. So, and that particular one sold 1,021,000 copies in Japan and was the 9th best-selling game of Japan in 2008. As of December 2008, it was the 5th best-selling Nintendo DS game in the U.S., and as far as, you know, its legacy, a lot of the, you know, some of the tracks ended up in Super Smash Brothers, especially in the N64, and that was the music from the Gourmet Race and Kirby's theme song. It was on Wii Virtual Console and Wii U Virtual Console, like I said earlier, and it was included in Kirby's Dream Collection that was released on the Wii in celebration of the 20th anniversary. Metal Knight's Battleship, the Halberd, reappeared in Kirby's Squeak Squad, Super Smash Bros. Brawl, Kirby's Epic Yarn, Super Smash Bros. For Wii U, and Kirby Planet Robobot. Try that, this a little. It's not a tongue twister, it's a bubba. And then a stage based off the Great Cave Offensive shows up in Super Smash Bros. For Wii U. That basically is just a reference back to them. Of course, it's included in the Super NES Classic Edition. So there you go. We got some Koibi action.
Yes, and it's a game that I remember pretty fondly as well. I had this game. I loved the Samurai game. The little Wild Gummin ripoff was, like, so much fun.
I can't go, you know, all crazy, you know, about picking, you know, weird, obscure shit no one's heard of or that maybe 5 of us have heard of.
I like the obscure stuff, but I think a good segment is a mixture of all of it. So
I am still thinking of getting the Kirby on a Star.
Yeah?
Because I said that when I lost 100 pounds, I'd get ink.
Uh-huh.
Well, now I've lost 116, and guess you still don't have ink?
That's okay, because I talked about getting a tattoo a long time ago as well, because I was going to get a sound wave, like here, because thankfully, thanks to the long-running history of this show, I have audio of my mom, because she was on the show, so I wanted to get
Get the one of her going, Rob!
Well, wanted to get her on my arm, and it's that whole little nerdy thing where you can use the phone to, like, play it and read it, and I realize that type of stuff won't be around forever, even though tattoos are, but I still think, like, sound waves, the fact that it would be my mom, and just the fact that this shit here has been a part of my life for so long, there should be a representation of that, you know, so that's what I'm looking into doing, so.
Yeah.
We'll have to go get matching tattoos. No, we wouldn't get matching tattoos.
I want my Kirby, though.
But sibling tattoos. Okay. Anyway, does Act Deft have a Kirby tattoo? I'd be curious about that.
Yeah, I really want to know, Act Deft, do you have a Kirby tattoo? And where is it?
All right. Anyway, We're going to take a studio break real quick, but we're just going to throw it to a segment I made earlier today. We're talking about classic games. I've talked a lot on the show before about the classic Nintendo Online Library on the Switch, but I've talked about...
He does not have one.
Oh, well, maybe that's something for the future. I've talked about the Famicom Library and how there are some subtle differences in some of the games, and I thought it would be kind of fun for this segment tonight to... show some of those subtle differences here. So we will be right back here on Orange Lounge Radio. Let's throw it to myself earlier today. Hey, everybody, it's Rob in the office studio, and I thought for our OLR break tonight, we could take a look at something that I've talked a few times about on the show, but I haven't really shown here on the show, and I thought it would be a good thing for the midpoint break. I've done a couple of live streams on my own personal channel that have addressed this a little bit, but what I wanted to show tonight was the Nintendo Switch Online Family Computer Classic Console, or Famicom Classic Console, as opposed to the online library for the NES that I think many of you are used to. If you own a Nintendo Switch, you've probably fired up this application, and you know it shows you all the classic games that you can play, and you can fire up whatever it is that you want, and you can play it. So yeah, here's what it looks like right now. I think we're going to talk in tonight's show about some of the other games that are coming soon. You can kind of see generally what it looks like. For those of you that don't own a Switch out there, you can kind of pick whatever game it is that you want to play, and you just pretty much go right into that game, and you can hit the ground running and play the game. Okay, so but I want to take a look at the Japanese version of this, the Famicom, which, you know, you can see right off the bat, had the very different controllers, right? It was a different system in Japan. And because it was a different system, there was also some different, you know, types of peripherals. Like, they had a disc-based system, if you weren't already aware. You could actually load games based on a disc, kind of like computers back in the 80s, a lot of disc-based stuff. Well, it's very easy, since the Nintendo Switch is region-free, it's very, very easy to create a Japanese account. You can go online, you create an account, and just set its home as Japan somewhere, right? And then you can sign in on your Switch with that account, and you can go on to the eShop and download this for free. And as long as you still have an online subscription for, you know, your U.S. account, or, you know, wherever it is you happen to be, it will work. The Japanese stuff will work, too, because, again, the Nintendo Switch is region-free. It's just most people don't think to make a Japanese account to go onto the Japanese eShop and download this. If you do that, I notice, like, sometimes I get, like, Japanese news updates and things because I have both accounts on my Switch, but I don't mind at all, actually. It's sometimes nice to see things on the other side of the pond. So let's fire up the Famicom version of this. And you don't have to use your so you'll notice I have a Japanese account here. You don't have to use the Japanese account. You can just use your regular account. In fact, that would be the one you would want to use because that's the one that actually is paying for the Switch online service, which maybe you got free through the whole Amazon deal lately. I don't know. But you only need that Japanese account to actually download the client from the store. And you'll see here, oh, the Japanese version looks very different because, again, the boxes in Japan very different. And so it looks a little more jigsaw puzzle here because of the fact that, you know, all the discs were different sizes. And of course, there's a lot of special versions, different software as well, and all that fun stuff. And so you can kind of jump in and see some of the big differences. For example, let's fire up Super Mario USA, right? Which we all know is Super Mario Brothers 2. So it has kind of a different title screen to it. Otherwise, once you get into the game, really, it's pretty much the same thing. It's just Super Mario Brothers 2. They just had that different screen that went with it. So that one's a little bit like whatever. There's not a lot of differences there. Of course, one of the big differences is that Japan has been getting some games that we haven't been getting in the U.S. For example, I don't believe this Yar Kung Fu came out in the U.S. at all. This is based on a classic arcade game, a really classic fighting arcade game. And yeah, you can play this, which I don't think is available in the U.S. store at all. So, you know, by downloading the Japanese client, which, you know, again, you have access to, and if you're paying for the U.S. online, you can just create a Japanese account and go get it. You can check out this game if you want. That's not the only one, however, there. You could also get Fire Emblem, which I know is a series a lot of people are paying attention to now, but the original was on the NES, and so that's what this game is. Unfortunately, this one's a little harder to play because, as you see, you're going to have to know some Japanese in order to kind of make your way around the game. But I'm sure there's lots of FAQs online that'll help you get through the game because, obviously, you know, people have
wanted to play this before, so there's fan translations and all that good stuff. Obviously, you can't translate the ROM itself, but there's some good text guides and things that can walk you through the game. And when in doubt, I'm sure a lot of YouTubes or other Twitch streamers that are playing the game as well could also help out with things like that. So this bottom option will always take you back out to the main menu. Also, some other interesting differences. Blaster Master, completely different game in Japan. So it has like a completely different screen here. Metafight, right? But when you start the game, so you remember the story in the U.S. is like, oh, you're going to go rescue your frog. So you have this, you know, Sophia, the big car that you're driving through the cave, right? You've seen that sequence at the beginning of Blaster Master? Yeah, well, in Japan? No, different story. It's not a cave. It's like this laboratory thing. Completely different story going on in that game there. So that's kind of another like little interesting difference. But one of the things I think gets really interesting is when you get into some of these games that were on the disc system, the Famicom disc system, because some of the sound is slightly different because the Famicom disc system, again, had that extra sound chip. So the versions that are actually emulated here on the Famicom library are the disc system versions. So, for example, let's go to a game that I know everybody knows. So where is it down here? Here we go. The Hyrule Fantasy, right? Legend of Zelda. And you can see that little logo with a little yellow guy there for the disc system, okay? So that shows you that The Legend of Zelda was a disc game. And the way they translated that when this game came out in the U.S. was they used the battery pack. But let's take a look at some of the differences. So it's very subtle, but if you can kind of hear the theme music in the background, I'll shut up for a minute. You know, little chimes? There's some extra stuff in it, right? Because there was a different sound processing system on the Famicom with the disc system versus the NES. So it sounds, and like a different font as well that they used in that version. So I could just go in real quick here as well. I think I'd already set up a file. Now you have to actually wait. So the downside to using the disc system is it emulates the loading times as well. So you have to sit through the loading times to actually get into the game. But once you do, it's pretty much the same game you remember from before. But let me go pick up the sword, okay? And it is in Japanese, so he doesn't, you know, say, you know, he usually says, it's dangerous to go alone, right? But now, listen carefully when I fire the sword, because I have the full health. Like a kind of a very different sort of noise it makes there when you fire that off, right? So, some subtle differences. You know, again, it's, at the end of the day, it's pretty much the same game, but there are some differences. Now, some of these differences on the other disc system games get more so. Like, if I were to go over to Metroid, okay, so here's Metroid. And again, if you listen very carefully, you can hear, like, an extra kind of, like, bass track in the background music here. But if I actually get into the game, okay, look at this. You don't remember this from the NES version of Metroid because this was on the disc system, so I had a file menu very similar to what you had with The Legend of Zelda, because Metroid came out first in the U.S., and that was their battery, or their, excuse me, their password pack. That's why there were the silver boxes, this and Kid Icarus, were the password pack series. So they used passwords at first to sort of emulate a little bit what they were doing with the, oops, with the disc, sorry, I hit the mic, with the disc systems before. So if I actually start the game here, and it actually, you know, it'll load here a little bit, and then you'll hear it. Loading, 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 now loading. Lots of loading for these games. That's, again, the downside to the Japanese ones is that you have to actually emulate that disc loading. Here we go. I think it'll start here after this. You kind of notice like a, kind of like an extra horn noise in there a little bit, probably. Oh, and I actually, oop, I picked a pile I'd actually already played, so I can't even go pick up the item now because I've already played this character a little bit. Whoops. That's all right. But you can still hear like some of those subtle differences a little bit. And when I get hit, like that little ow noise, slightly different. Newer releases, I mentioned Kid Icarus as well, and I think we'll go there. So again, a screen with multiple files, just like you'd have in the other disc games. So it wants a name, but I don't really have one, so we'll just give it a fake name there. And start the game, and all those loading screens. Here we go. And I think, for the most part, the audio is very similar in this game. But I think when you get hit, I want to say I noticed a big difference when he like if you die or whatever. Maybe to do that, I might have to just do a falling death here. Oh, maybe it was the Grim Reaper guy. Let me see if I can just run up to him real fast this first level. Let's be real. It's not hard to die in Kid Icarus. This game is very hard. Some of those games you have to really kind of remember your way through. Okay, let's see. So there's the harp that turns everybody into hammers. Kind of makes a little bit of a different noise instead of just like a tick-tock. Ooh, I really went the wrong way on that. I'm really not supposed to go to the right. That's okay. All right, there's one of the death guys. Oh, no! Yeah, did you hear that little, like, extra backing track there? And, wow, I wasn't trying to die there, but, you know, fail. I did it anyway. All right. Anyway, I think that's enough of a tour, a little quick break tonight. But, you know, I just thought, for those of you that have a Nintendo Switch and maybe you haven't played around with it, it's kind of just fun to look at some of the differences between the Japanese releases and the American releases. And again, you know, even though you might be like, well, whatever, with the extra sound, you do have some of those extra games. And now it's going the other way, too, with this last month that we had. We had the Star Tropics release in the U.S. that they didn't get in Japan. So you know what? If you happen to be one of those few Japanese listeners that's participating with Orange Lounge Radio tonight, maybe there's something to go in the other way as well if you want to check out Star Tropics for the first time. So there's that. Anyway, just a little bit of a tour there of the differences, and I'll be curious if any of you guys check it out this week. Be sure to send me a tweet at Mr. Rob Roberts if you decide, this segment kind of inspired you to go into the Famicom library and check some of the things out there. But for now, we will head back to the studio.
All right. Thank you, me, for that lovely segment. Those of you guys in chat seem to be enjoying that. YYR is like noticing a lot of the differences that I'm pointing out there and talking about maybe making a Switch online just to check that out. And Breakman made some funny comments in our chat at twitch.tv/OLR going, "The music I grew up with and loved was watered down. My whole reality has been shattered. Gee, thanks, OLR." Well, I don't know. It's all perspective. I mean, sure, maybe it was missing some of the tracks there because it had one less chip or something. But, you know, perspective a little bit. Those loading times in Metroid were pretty bad, and that didn't exist when it was in a cartridge form. So there are some pros and cons, and, you know, like I said, I'd be curious if somebody like Akuma JP or maybe one of our other listeners in Japan would be curious about exploring it the other way to see what we always complain about and maybe hear what the watered-down audio sounds like, or check out Star Tropics or, you know, some of those things I was addressing there in the video. So, let's see. Other comments in chat here. Metal Mayhem says, "Admittedly, I never had Kid Icarus on the NES. It's a hard game, but it's definitely worth playing. It's a fun game." So, Breakman said that was a really fun segment. Orange Wright says, "Joy Mech Fight is worth the time to make the Japanese account alone." Yeah, why not? I mean, part of the reason I want to highlight that is I know I always talk about it, but like those of you that are already subscribing to Switch Online, which is a ton of people at this point with the Twitch Prime add-on now, you know, you can go peek at some of those differences. Again, it kind of takes a special type of gaming nerd to appreciate a lot of those differences. I think for the most part, they're all going to be very subtle, and you'll just be like, oh, there's really the same game. But there's at least those couple extra games, like Joining Mac Fight and so on. So anyway, all that being said, I think we will get back into some news in our show and the rest of what we got to talk about tonight. So let's do some rapid-fire news. Loki, I believe, starting us off.
There's some ridiculous stuff that you'll find out there on the internet, including screenshots, or I should say photographs, of Gabe Newell in China pimping out some underwear. Well, apparently some Chinese company that sells underwear has used his likeness on the cover of these packages, and it's funny because,
you know, when I think of underwear model, I don't always think of Gabe Newell, but I appreciate that we're being body positive and featuring all sorts of different, except the picture is him fully clothed, to be clear.
Yes.
The picture is Gabe Newell fully clothed.
He's wearing a bra on his head, like Travis being Queen Amidala.
No, none of that. Are they selling boxers or briefs? That's the important
question. Apparently, they appear to be boxer briefs.
Broccoli?
No, boxer briefs.
Okay.
Although, the way they actually have it listed, it's large brief. It's 5XL.
I see. Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of... That's just probably the box.
The 4XL ones, yeah. So,
yeah. So, all right.
Interesting.
Congrats, Gabe Newell, CEO, underwear model.
But are they three packs is what I have to see. It's only a two pack.
Oh, okay.
Can't get to the three pack.
Three, no.
Apparently, so, you know. At least they respect that part of the Newell.
I'm so glad we talk about such important elements of game. I'm so glad for all the stories we bumped tonight so we could cover that one.
Hey, you know what? Can you not get enough of Hideo Kojima? Well, guess what? Soon you'll be able to get him in other mediums as well, including a brand new show that's going to be on Prime Video. So Hideo Kojima has apparently a cameo in this new crime series that's coming out, Too Old to Die Young. And he's actually featured in the trailer extremely briefly. But you can check it out. And it looks interesting. I don't know what the series is about, but it's the music, they have the retrowave music in the actual series, plus it's just kind of, I don't know, very dark and stylistic, so it looks neat, and that seems like something that he would get himself involved in. So I'll just check it out since I have Prime Video and I don't use it for anything.
All right, get on it. All right. Moving on, April Fool's was this past week, which, you know, I'm kind of over all the dumb things people do on that day. But once in a while, like, video games will put out like a little extra thing for April Fool's Day that ends up being like a permanent thing.
Yeah.
For example, I talked earlier in the show, Beat Saber had that crab song, and that's like there
yeah,
now.
Fine.
Yeah, a full time thing. Well, also, here's another one. So if you're a Rage 2 player, then they unleashed a new announcer pack featuring Tim Kitzrow, who is the announcer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. So if you
yes.
want the guy from downtown, if you want that in Rage 2, yes, that is really something that is available. If you pre-order Rage 2, you get the He's on Fire cheat code DLC pack, and that will have the commentary for the actions that you perform in the game. That's
it looked hilarious.
Yeah, it looked hilarious in the trailer. So there you go, and that's a real thing. So I like it when the April Fool's jokes are like legit, like actual things that are just, they're just stupid and you turn them on and off as you need to. Now y'all know I love me some Civilization 6, right? In the Civilization
no.
series. I think this is really cool is that now if you link your 2K account, you can actually play Civilization 6 with cross save support. So you can start a game on the PC, save it and pick it up on the Switch.
Cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Cross save as opposed to just like a cross play type of thing. So that's pretty neat. So anyway, that was a recent update that just came out. No April Fool's joke there, where you can save a game on the PC and you can pick it up on the Switch. Again, you have to have a 2K account to basically facilitate the cross save. So yeah, yet another game company account you get to make. Woohoo. But that's kind of a neat thing there. So do remember that the Switch version of Civ 6 is the original with no expansions. So keep that in mind for your Civ 6 game. That's an important thing, is that if you have a Civ 6 games with all the expansions, oops, you can't actually transfer that file. So do keep that in mind with this. But I think that's pretty cool. It's kind of one of those things that, like, now they announced it, I'm like, oh, that really should have been there the whole time. How about that? Anyway, Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, coming out is going to be Konami's Arcade Archives series. And the game that's going to be added to that is Time Pilot. That's going to be coming out on April 11th, 2019. I mean, basically, you go through time rescuing other pilots. Apparently, 2001, we were supposed to have UFOs.
I love Time Pilot.
But it is actually saying it's going to be the first of their classic arcade titles to join that, so that's pretty cool. It'll be on PS4 and Switch in Japan on April 11th. It will be 823 yen.
A game that was prominently featured on Nick Arcade.
I was going to say Starcade. I think
and Starcade.
Yeah, Starcade both. Had this game all the time.
Anyway, also the game Power Rangers Battle for the Grid is going to have some free DLC characters and more content. Enway has revealed three characters coming out. That's going to be Dragon Armor Trini, rest in peace. Udana and Cenozoic Blue Ranger are going to be out with no other cost, and that they're hard at work on packing more content into the game. So they are giving the fans what they want, all six of them.
There's most more fans than that.
All right. That's it.
Well, go, Power Rangers. All right.
I heard what you did there.
I know. It was intentional. Let's travel around the world and check out some games that are coming out real soon, starting in the U.S. Loki.
Yeah, I have a few things this week. So Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trilogy on PC, the Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. We have Shovel Knight Showdown on PC, Mac, and Linux, Wii U, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Zanky Zero Last Beginning on PC and PlayStation 4. Earth Defense Force Iron Rain on PlayStation 4. The Nintendo Labo Toy-Con 4 VR kit is coming out this week on the Switch. And last but not least, Konami Arcade Classics, PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, has Time Pilot in it as well.
Yep.
So it's a little weird that Arcade Archives is doing one for $8 when it's part of a collection that's going to be $20. So this is a little weird, but okay. You gotta choose how you want to consume your Time Pilot, I suppose. Traveling over to Japan, it's a little bit lighter in Japan this week. I don't know if that's because Gold Week's at the end of the month, or you know, some of those budget things that Loki talked about in the last episode. Who knows? Maybe all of that coming into play. But the only release really on the PlayStation 4 this week is V Rally 4 that is out on April 11th. Over on the Nintendo Switch, a little bit bigger deal on the Switch. Not only is V Rally 4 also out on the Switch, but the Final Fantasy X and X-2 HD remaster hits the Switch on April 11th. So that's kind of a big deal. So that is happening this week as well. But that's really it as far as like big notable releases go. Dark Sakura, what about the UK?
Two things on the 8th: Dangerous Driving and Zanky Zero Last Beginning. That's
all right. I think Dangerous Driving was supposed to be coming out here too, but I must have missed it on the list. But it is
okay.
Good it's Burnout Paradise, or it's basically Burnout.
Yeah, it's but the team kind of doing a new game, right? But they couldn't call it Burnout or whatever they said.
It's basically Burnout. It's like Burnout Takedown, basically, but
well,
not
that team is in the UK, so maybe it is coming out there first.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So maybe they do get it first for a change. Who knows?
Das Eat.
Anyway.
Yeah. And the Final Fantasy X stuff won't be out until next week.
Yeah, it's Japan's getting it first, as sometimes happens.
Of course.
All right. Well, I mean, honestly,
I mean, what can they do for us?
if you really wanted to play those remasters right now, it's out on PlayStation 4 and PC. It's just the Switch versions you have to wait on. Anyway. All right. Let's go to the mailbag, because every week you guys send us emails at participate@orangeloungeradio.com.
Ha-ha.
And why are you laughing?
Because there's nothing in there.
There's no email. Nobody sent us any emails to participate.
Someone trying to scam us did.
Well, those don't count. Spam emails don't count.
I deleted it and bypassed the trash.
So participate@orangelawntrader.com if you want to send us an email in a future week. But since y'all didn't send us emails, you know what that means?
Fuck off.
No, it means
kidding.
I get to have an excuse to talk to Dark Soccer about Drag Race Season 11. So
I need to watch last episode, but it's already been spoiled for me in the most delightful of manners.
Well, you don't have to spoil it here, but who are you rooting for on Drag Race Season 11?
I'm rooting for that little romance budding between Miss Vanjie and Brooklyn Heights.
Even straight people know Miss Vanjie.
Even straight people do.
That was the most memeable thing that's ever come out of the show.
Actually, Evie Oddly is my top favorite. My second favorite would be Brooklyn Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And my third favorite is actually kind of a tie between Ms. Vanjie, just because I love her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love her terrible.
Get these cookies.
Yeah.
I love her talking.
And Nina West.
Yeah, I love Nina West.
I like the campy queens.
Yeah, I love a campy queen. My favorite is Evie Oddly, for sure. I think she's going to go all the way to the end. Nina West, I really like too. You know, she's going to be here locally in a couple weeks. I kind of want to go see that show. I think that'd be a lot of fun. So I really, I'm like you. I love a campy queen. But as far as like a glamour queen goes, I think Akiria Chanel Davenport has been bringing a lot of great stuff to the runway.
I do, but I really like Plastique Tiara, and I would like to have another Asian queen somewhere in the top.
Yeah.
I mean, that isn't, you know, the unimitatable Raja. And not this bitch on this season.
Oh, yeah, her.
Her and Silky can go fuck right off. The other one I wanted to fuck off is gone.
Who did you say is in town tonight? Somebody's downtown tonight from the show, you said.
I lost it because it was on my Facebook.
Oh, it was, I remember, it was Trinity. It's not even from the season.
Trinity the Tuck.
Your current,
one of your current
fucking half reigning.
One of our local queens is performing with her.
Oh, fun. That's good. Support your local queens.
I want to tell everyone right now, I'm going to give one more shout out, and this is to a Facebook page that everyone must follow. It's called Possum Core.
Okay.
And it's nothing but adorable little freaking possums.
All right. Well, moving away from the mailbag segment.
Possums.
I did neglect to ask you, because you're talking about plugs. Did you have a podcast you want to plug this week? I guess we can do that here, too.
Game Buoy.
Heck yeah. Game Buoy. Our pals at Game Buoy.
I'm trying to do like non-Vogue ones, but no one gave me a submission this
week.
The
girl can't help it. And they just came back. They just came back from a hiatus.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome, Buoyak.
Yeah.
Game Buoy.
Keep us afloat. Aye, aye.
We don't want to, you know.
Nautical terms.
Yes.
Will you be our star to guide us in the gaming news realm with opinions? Possums.
Yes, we don't want to sink by not knowing all the gaming news.
Dude,
that's
I am posting
not on our
this
radar.
Freaking adorable possum in chat.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. All right, back to gaming news. And Loki, what do you want to talk about in gaming news tonight?
So I just mentioned during our release dates that the VR Joy-Con set is coming out for Labo. And to go along with that, they released a video this week announcing that, hey, not only are you going to be able to use the stuff that's in those sets with this, but you'll be able to use the VR goggles that you create with it with other games. So on April 25th, they're going to add support to Super Mario Odyssey and Zelda Breath of the Wild. So the way this is going to work in Mario Odyssey, you're going to have a few different levels, mini challenges they call them, where basically it's all in 3D, but you're kind of watching from like a kind of a fixed camera type thing. So you're going to do that.
Wait, so they're just videos basically? Or no,
you actually play it.
Oh, you're playing it, but it's a fixed camera. I got
yeah,
you.
And so it's like a fixed camera type thing.
Gotcha.
But then in Breath of the Wild, though, it's actually going to be full on like a VR first person view, I guess, or VR support throughout the entire game, except for the pre-rendered cutscenes, which won't be in VR. But apparently you'll be able to turn that option or turn that on in the options menu to get full VR support for the game.
I can't imagine playing through that entire game in VR, though, especially because there's no way to strap it to your head. You have to hold it.
No, there is not a way. There's not a way to strap it to your head. You have to basically hold it up because it's basically just the actual Switch just inside some cardboard, and you have to hold it up because it's weighted. So you can't really strap it to your head because it'd be pretty damn uncomfortable. It's not exactly well thought out for like playing a long game like that, yeah. But I can see the Mario thing is a neat idea.
It's a cute novelty.
It is a cute novelty, but yes. Yeah, it'd be nice if they had straps to actually strap it to your head, but I can't see how that would be comfortable in any way, being that it is just a piece of cardboard.
You have to like not only hold it up, but like the Joy-Cons are there too, because, and Bobby's pointing out, it tracks your head movement that way, so that's also, you have to control it up here.
Yeah, you're holding it like this.
And it doesn't sound comfortable.
It's going to be
all.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's the type of thing where it's like, I will give that 3 minutes max, and then I'll be over it.
I'll play the Mario Odyssey levels.
Yeah, the Mario Odyssey one looks
It'll be very short, but
and then it's like I'll turn it on just to see Hyrule in VR. Ooh, that's neat. Okay, done.
Yeah.
That's about all I would be able to tolerate of that as well, for sure. All right. Well, I want the full report next week on the VR thing. So make sure you
Yeah, well we're right. Well, I'm putting together the robot one now, so I mean that'll be fun. But yeah, the VR one is coming on Friday when it releases, cuz right. I ordered it through Amazon.
I want to know all the details on that. So, all right. Well, moving on, let's talk about for VR beginning, something else is ending, sort of. Starlink is going away a little bit. Well, obviously they can't like shut down the game. If you've already bought the game, you obviously can still play it. However, Ubisoft has mentioned no more physical toys will be made for the game. So the toys to life.
They were clearing that shit out at Target like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and honestly, like Nintendo kind of treated this like it was a Star Fox game. So I kind of forgot it was a toys to life game. I just kind of thought it was somebody like made it- a. Put Star Fox in a not Star Fox game, and now it's sort of Star Fox. I can't believe it's not Star Fox.
It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's a neat idea, but
Now, to be clear, the game is still being supported because pilots, spaceships, weapons, there's going to be a spring update that's going to add more of that, but it's all digital, which maybe some people are going to enjoy, is that it seems like all these things they had planned for future toys, it'll just be
well,
in there in digital
now. Funny enough that you mentioned that, because that's actually how they treated the PC version of Disney Infinity, it was all digital. You had cards you could put codes in. You get like with the actual. Well, originally I think it was the mobile. They had a mobile game too, I think. So you put in codes that came with the actual characters to unlock the digital ones. But of course, you know, now there's ways to, you know, cheat that. But it was all. Now I think if you buy the games, it just comes with all of the characters that they had released with that. So I don't know. That's the only bad thing about those Toys to Life stuff is like. It has to be really something you want to collect because those things are pretty big. Like the Arwing thing, I could see that would be pretty cool for someone to put on a shelf. But like all the other things, I don't know. That's a bit much.
All right. Now, the company did make a statement. The developers of the game made a statement. You don't usually hear them be very frank about what's going on. But the statement says, despite the immense and continuous support from our players, the sales for Starlink Battle for Atlas fell below expectations. Consequently, we recently made the decision to not release any additional physical toys for the spring update and in the future. Not often you hear a company being very upfront where it's like, well, didn't sell enough of them, so the end. So it's kind of a sad reality, I guess. So
that's what happens when you guys try to jump into the Toys to Life stuff too late in the game. I mean, come on, Ubisoft. Yeah.
Maybe it'll work a little better for him digitally. We'll see. But I still need to play the game myself just because I was curious about the whole Star Fox. You know, obviously, I would play on the Switch so I could see all that.
You go, check out the clearance stuff because those games, I think, were the toys themselves were like $5 for like a big thing. And I was like, maybe I should get some of these. I'm like, I'm never going to play this. Why am I going to buy this stuff?
Yeah. All right, moving on. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
I got some stuff. So Jackbox Party Pack 6 is coming in Q4 2019. But at any rate, they did something kind of different. We know that it's going to be called Trivia Murder Party minigame from 2016 is going to be returning. And that it's going to give us 5 games per collection and maybe 4 more and 1 with a new concept. So at any rate, it also did like a really weird kind of trailer with people wearing sheets in a forest labeled ghosts. Like, what is this? It's going to, at any rate, be on PC, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and Apple TV and iPad. So, hopefully it'll be pretty good. We'll see. I don't know. Do you think you're going to be into this
one? I haven't gotten any of the other Jackbox games. Although, didn't they give one away for, like, I think Epic Store had one for free, didn't they? At some point?
I don't remember, but I'm double
checking the library.
Trying to look at this weird.
I don't have enough friends to play those with, so that's the problem.
Oh, you have at least 3.
Not that they want to play with me at any time. I do have the Jackbox Party Pack. I grabbed that. It was one of the free Epic games that they had on there. So I did get that. By the way, The Witness is free right now, so
is
check
it?
That out.
Okay. Well, at any rate, this... I don't know if the weird trailer is enough. I mean, it's kind of like people are banking in on this kind of oddity-related...
I don't know. Trivia Murder Party was awesome, so I'm down for a sequel.
But I wonder, like, what type of new theme they're going to be able to do.
What was the T-shirt one that they had? It was...
I don't remember, because I didn't really play a whole bunch of it myself.
I just remember the last time I played it was over at a Halloween party.
No. Well, at any rate, sometime later in the year, we're going to have it. So we will see it when we see it.
Sounds awesome.
Anything else?
So we're having a microphone issue, and I can't tell which mic it is.
It's all of the mics.
They're
all bad.
Yeah, I'm terrible.
It's Radio Shack ghosts.
Well, we didn't get these from Radio Shack, did we?
Well, it's still Radio Shack ghosts.
You know Dan worked for Radio Shack.
And did he confirm that it's full of ghosts?
No, I think the ghosts were, like, possessing... But they used to play, like, the chill station from on Sirius. So every time I'd go in...
Loki's unplugged for a minute. I want to see if the chat says it's Loki's mic. I'm trying to diagnose which mic is having the issues. If it's my mic...
I don't need a mic. I talk loud enough to be picked up by all of the mics.
Yeah, right?
And it's Flea says, I think it's Loki's mic.
Interesting. So they say they keep hearing static on their end.
It's
live radio. These things happen.
Dude, it is not the Mac Mini.
So I'm curious if they're saying it's gone away. Has it gone away at this point? Because I just unplugged Loki. So if it's Loki's mic,
don't make me
the noise
sing.
Should have gone away.
Don't make me. It's gone away.
It's gone away. So it's Loki's mic. All right.
Don't make me sing.
I'm going to sub his mic out for another cord real quick. Unfortunately, like,
well, Loki's got a story to do.
Well, nobody has a hot mic but you.
I do.
So you.
Okay.
Need to-
so this is the Dark Sakura hour. Now I'm going to go ahead and do my story for reasons, because, well, I don't have another story, so I'm going to think of a story. And yesterday, you know that Burrito Week, National Burrito Day was last week. And Dan and I went out and got burritos at Freebirds. And I ended up being like, it was super good, but they had that like alternate meat thing. Rob, I'm just going to read your story because fuck it. Okay. Rob's story is this. There is a working Mario Maker inside Little Big Planet 3. Apparently, players in Little Big Planet 3 have basically made their own version. It's so weird because it looks actually completely right. So they can do blocks, pipes, coins, and elements of Super Mario Brothers. It's not, and someone actually tried to recreate the level. So they did the demo of Super Mario Maker running in Little Big Planet, and it actually looks pretty legit. I mean, some of the stuff is a little different, but this is actually kind of cool.
Well, it's amazing what they can do in Little Big Planet 3, and so I can only imagine what we're going to be able to do when we actually get...
very loud. Hold on.
And he's actually talking quietly, so I'm impressed.
Yeah, I know, right?
Live
different
radio.
Different cable, same story. Talking
live radio.
Talking in the yellow. Anyways, it would be interesting to see what actually is going to happen when Dreams comes out, because you can do a ton more stuff in Dreams than you can in Little Big Planet 3. So I'm very curious to see what they can do with that full-on Mario Maker in that one.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But it looked neat. It's pretty impressive. I haven't played Little Big Planet 3, even though we got it free. With
even though you cosplayed
months.
Sackboy.
That was a long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away, namely Rob's old house.
Okay, so live fixing on the air. Apparently, I tech supported the issue. The chat is happy. So
don't. No, you'll piss off the electronics union, Rob. Like Bobby says.
All right. Anyway, let's try to move back and talk about the Loki story that we missed tonight. So there's one more we were going to do there.
So unfortunately, speedrun.com has had to revert their rankings back to their April 1st date because apparently they had a security breach which left, I guess, many of the leaderboards at risk of tampering. And so because of that, they had to roll back their data. And so unfortunately, some of these records that people may have set have been removed. And so they said, you know, about 3 to 5 accounts moderating prominent boards were compromised. And this the cause is still understood to be only a few users using or reusing passwords that were compromised from other sites years ago. And so because of that, you know, they had to, unfortunately, roll back their database. So that sucks. That's why you need to use strong passwords. Yes.
Symbols.
And record your shit.
Yes. All right.
Should bust out the VCR, the video cassette recorder like they had to do in the days of Donkey Kong.
All right. Well, this is – sorry, it's been a little awkward trying to get to the end here with all the sound issues, but we're finally all worked out. I think there's just going to come a point when I have money, that I'm just going to all new mics, all new cords. Why not? We got a new mixing board.
We'll get all the fancy
– These mics were graciously donated by Brad from Pod Culture, but that was a few years ago at this point, so I think our system might have just – you know, kind of lived its life, so we might have to end up getting some new stuff. We'll see very soon. So, anyway, let's get to our listener roundtable. So we're actually going to open up our Discord server. If you want to join the green room over on Discord at the VOG Network Discord, which is vognetwork.com/Discord, we're going to be taking some calls here. Or if you have a question on chat or something you want to ask, you can ask away in chat. While I get that all set up, though, is there anything that you want to add here for last minute stories, Loki? Now that we can hear you again.
I don't have anything other than I have to say one thing I didn't mention as part of my gaming week, the whole Labo thing. One of the things I like the best about the Labo software right now is the music in those building menus. It's fantastic. Like, it's some really energetic, like, kind of jazzy tunes that they've got going on there. So, like, I really like the menu. It's like, that's like Wii U or Wii Shop music type stuff. I mean, really, really good stuff. So, I dig that. And also just, like, some of the joking around. Because a lot of the steps, you have to do the same shit over and over. Now, look, you know, isn't that relaxing to, like, fold these creases and stuff like that? And, you know, like, it's just, it's kind of got a humor to it. Like,
isn't,
I really wanted my kids.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that
I really
wonderful?
Wanted my kids to, like, put this shit together, but, like, they didn't want to do any of it. So I'm like,
do it.
They're like, is it done yet? I'm like, I just opened the box. It's not done yet. You see the stack of cardboard here. Jesus Christ.
All right. I know we got one person waiting in the green room, so let's get to it. Hello, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Metal Mayhem.
Hey, Metal Mayhem. What's on your mind, buddy?
And now, hold on. Just a very broad topic for you guys tonight. Seeing as that we're all pretty much within the same age range within a couple of years, and we've been gaming for quite a long time, I have a kind of a general question for the three of you. Is there, even though gaming magazines haven't been around for roughly about 10 years, give or take, because internet kind of killed off gaming mags, for better or for worse, have there been any, in the past that you, bought on a regular basis, either at the newsstand or through subscription?
So gaming magazines, what gaming magazines were you guys all into? Like, and what did you actually, like, subscribe to or consume? Dark Sakura, did you have any magazines that you got on a regular basis?
Not really. I would just go steal them from the grocery store.
You stole magazines?
Yeah, like GamePro and EGM.
Oh, my gosh. We have a criminal in our midst.
I admit to it. They can't prove it. Just me saying so doesn't mean I actually did it.
You just said it to look cool. Even though stealing is wrong,
yeah,
don't
do
it.
Cool. Don't steal from the magazine rack in your grocery store.
Honestly, I had a subscription to Nintendo Power for a long time. I think I finally let it go when I went off to college, but I had the very first issue of Nintendo Power. I wish I hadn't thrown it away. I didn't realize how valuable that thing would be. But I subscribed to Nintendo Power for a long time, and that was certainly a go-to magazine. I liked EGM. I picked that up a lot. Honestly, it was the type of thing. So the grocery store used to have, like, a magazine section, which is where a lot of, like, greeting card sections are now. And so, like, every time we went to the grocery store, I would kind of be able to be like, Mom, can I get GamePro? So I would kind of, like, catch up on a video game magazine that way. And so I kind of rotated through all of them. I remember once GamePro had this thing where, like, you could be an editor or something. It was like they were going to have a team of 75 winners that were, like, editors. And I ended up getting picked. Like, they sent me a thing that was like that I got picked. I won the thing because, like, you had to send a little thing in writing or whatever. And then nothing ever came of it. I never got anything else but the whole congratulations, you got picked to do nothing. All right. I guess I get to sit there and look fabulous. So there was that. And
because we have no editors here.
Yeah, I guess
they do nothing.
Yeah, I guess they went under after that. But to do a throwback, even though it's not necessarily like 100% video gaming, like, I also remember I was a big Commodore 64 enthusiast back in the day because that was the computer that was in my family. So I loved those, like, Compute Gazette magazines that you could type the programs in the back and, like, make your own stuff. I loved that stuff. And so there was a lot of classic computing magazines I really got into as well. VG and CE, Video Games Computer Entertainment, was another one. Lodestar, was that only a disc thing, or was that actually, I think it was actually a magazine for a short time. Logie, what about you? What about you and magazines?
I did subscribe to Nintendo Power and GamePro, and then I used to pick up a lot at the store, especially when I had, like, I had my own PC at that time. So, like, my first PC, I would pick up PC Gamer because they had the discs with, like, full games in them sometimes. And so I would pick those up just for the games. And I used to like also some of the import magazines for different things because usually they had, like, I don't know. The official PlayStation magazine, OPM. I did subscribe to that as well, also for the demo discs, because that was awesome.
Actually, there was a magazine that Dan and I were subscribing to for a while. We were subscribing to Retro Gamer.
Oh, and the Xbox Game magazine, also for the demo discs. Notice the trend here. Demo discs. That'll get me to subscribe to your magazine.
Demo discs are a good thing. Metal Mayhem, what about you real quick?
Well, I personally didn't subscribe to it. Technically, my father did, but my father had a multi-year subscription to Nintendo Power. And this is before Future Publishing or whatever the name of the company is took over. And to a certain extent, that magazine was all right, but eventually it kind of dawned on me that, hey, Nintendo's running this magazine. Naturally, they're in the business of selling games. They're not going to say, hey, our games are crap, don't buy them. It's Nintendo Power. So, like, eventually...
It's that moment when you're younger that you realize everything you loved was advertising.
So eventually I started going to magazine aisles of stores and getting all the magazines. I initially started getting Gamepro, which I loved. And then, like Loki, I started getting official PlayStation magazine once I got a PlayStation 1. I got that for the demo, mostly, but I ended up liking the magazine itself. And eventually, when I got a 360, I got a OXM as well for the demo disc, and I ended up liking the magazine as well.
Yeah, I used to love those official PlayStation magazine demo discs. I think if you still have, I think some of those demo discs like are kind of collectibles at this point.
Well, there was some that was pretty awesome. Like the official Xbox magazine, they actually had like DLC for free on there. I remember like for Oblivion, they had like a few Oblivion like DLC packs that were free in there. I was like, sweet.
Yeah, it was awesome. Anyway, Metal Mayhem, it was a great question. I'm going to let you go so we can get some more calls, but great question and happy reading.
All right, have a nice day. Take care.
And what was kind of cool is they had a demo in one of them for Time Shift, the Atari version of Time Shift, because they had changed publishers at one time for that game. So they had a demo that was of a game that never came out, and they released later on another demo for the actual version that came out that was from another publisher altogether.
All right. Well, let me go to another call here. Hi, you're on Orange Sounds Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Hey, Rama, how you doing?
Not too much. I'm a little stuffed from dinner and getting ready for a brand new work week.
You know, and I learned tonight, I thought only Bobby and I had privileges to drag and drop people into other channels, but apparently you do too. No,
and see, the funny thing is, I didn't even realize, because I barely use Discord on my phone. And I'm like, okay, this is it. I didn't realize, so like, wait, why is this locked? And I look, I'm like, and I was like, my bad, Rob, my bad.
So for those that don't know, because you can't see it behind the scene, you can't see the Discord activity, but during that last call with Metal Mayhem, like, Rama kept dropping into the channel, and I was like, okay, Rama, I get it, you want to be on the show, but like, you need to, like, I don't want background noise coming through, or I'm like, you need to go wait, like everybody else, you know, and I keep dragging and dropping him back in the channel, and then suddenly he disappeared. So I don't know if, Rama, you dropped off, or Bobby saw what was going on and was like, I'll show him, or what.
No, I realized till after the fact, you know, I looked in the room, I was like, restricted. Wait, that's not the green room. Oh, damn. Whoops.
Bobby said he revoked your access. What? It's like you were in the room and then the sirens started going off. Woo, woo, woo. intruder alert.
Well, I look at it this way. If something happens, I have my papers. I'm good.
I know. All right. All that joking aside, what's on your mind tonight, buddy?
All right, I want to talk about something in regards to a comment you made last week that I agree with you about.
Okay, good. You agree with me. Sure. What is that?
The 3D Zeldas.
Oh, when I gave my hot take, the Ocarina of Time and stuff, like, you guys hyped those games up a lot.
I will say this. I got a Nintendo 64 just for Ocarina of Time. I saved up my money. I got the console. I got the game. A few hours into this game, I'm like, what the hell is this? I felt like I got ripped off.
Ooh.
Okay?
I don't know if I would go that strong with it. But I personally think Breath of the Wild is the best 3D Zelda they've ever made. And I don't know if that's just because, you know, maybe now I'm kind of more used to 3D games. I've just accepted it as that's where we're at. Whereas, you know, when the Nintendo 64 was brand new, I was still, you know, I was kind of like, all these polygons are so bulky. They're just like shapes floating out there and, you know, all that type of stuff.
I mean, I do enjoy my fair share of 3D games. I just couldn't get into it. I'm like, I prefer my top/2D Zelda games. Now, I did play Breath of the Wild, and I did like that. And that game did one thing the other 3D games did not do. It actually mapped a button so Link could jump.
Oh, man. Yeah, I wish... yeah, that's... Link being able to jump is important.
Yeah, I mean, this is a 3D game. He should be able to, like, jump over. So I'm like, what do you mean? He can't. You know what? Forget it. And I'm like, nope. You know what? I even said, you know, I'm going to give Ocarina of Time another shot. So I went out and got it on 3DS. I played it through. 2 hours in, I gave it to Mako-chan. I'm like, here, you can have this. I don't want it. I will play my 2D Zeldas till I can't play them anymore.
What do you think about the whole the announcement, or well, either the rumor, I guess, that Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past might be getting like a 3D style remake in the vein of the Link's Awakening remake? What do you think about that? Like a 2D game, kind of going to that sub 3D type of thing. What do you make of all that?
I don't know if you saw my reaction, but when Nintendo announced Link's Awakening for the Switch, I pretty much said, Fuck, I have to get a Switch now. It's like, there were reasons why I was going to get a Switch.
Yeah, and we were talking earlier about how, like, the Secret of Mana remake, you know, was kind of, like, a little bit hit and miss, but I kind of expect a certain quality out of Nintendo, and so I think this Link to, you know, this Link's Awakening for sure, but maybe even Link to the Past is going to be pretty cool. It's going to be up to a certain level, so I'm excited about it. All right, for some reason, I've lost your audio. Are you still there with us, Rama? Okay, if you can hear us, we can't hear you. I don't know if maybe Bobby's messing around with some permissions live on air or what. But for some reason, we lost you, Rama. But thank you so much for the call. And we'll talk to you next time. Or everybody should be listening to Anime Jam Session Tuesday night here on the Voice Geeks Network. Meanwhile, I've got one more person waiting. So let me bring this person in. Hopefully this person can talk. Hi, you're on Orange Sounds Radio. Who's this?
Legend of Zaku here. Wow.
Hey, good. We can't hear you. So that wasn't a Rama thing. What's up, buddy?
Legend of Zaku here.
Hi, hey, how are you?
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, obviously you noticed I haven't been on, like, for God knows how long. Probably more than a year, year and a half. Everything's good. Just settling in to my new digs. I've been here for over a year now.
Congrats.
I mean, if you see I'm finally out of the city. I'm in Westchester now, so settling in with my fiance and all. So, just went to PAX last weekend. So
How was that?
Hit or miss, mostly. Thursday was probably the least crowded day. I was actually able to go to the show floor hit up most of the booths or a good chunk of the booths. But it was mostly me just flying in, like, in Thrustmaster's booth because they had DCS World in VR. And, you know, I love flying games, and I won a headset because I shot down two Russian aircraft on an F-18 simulator.
Nice.
With their fancy $500 joystick.
Ooh. That's like, that reminds me of the time, it was years ago, it was when Final Fantasy XI was being shown at E3. It wasn't new, though. It was already out. Maybe it was the year they were showing on 360. I don't remember. It was the first or second year I was ever at E3. But anyway, long story short, I won some, like, I think it was like a ballista competition or something. It was like the PVTB they were doing. I won some type of Final Fantasy XI thing, my team of eight. And then they spun a wheel to see which person got to pick their prize first. And they thought for sure people would pick the Nobuo Uematsu CDs first that were signed. But I was like, no, they were giving away a full-on brand-new motherboard. motherboard. You remember that?
Yeah, motherboard and processor.
It was a motherboard processor thing. And I got that at E3, and that ended up being the show computer later on at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny the way that all worked out. So anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a lot of, like, VR. Most of the past couple of years, PAX has been mostly VR now. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of just lots of demo booths, especially Facebook, and their Oculus booths, like literally capped almost every day after Thursday.
I haven't been to PAX in a little while because you may have caught some of the shade I was throwing last week, but our feathers were ruffled a few years ago, and I wasn't super impressed with the show anyway, so I just haven't spent the money to go back in a while. I've been tempted to go to another one, but I would be curious to see like what it would kind of look like. And plus, honestly, like a lot of my convention money, I do Dragon Con now, and I try to get to other like smaller conventions. So it's been hard to swing PAX as well on top of all that. But never say never.
Yeah, I mean, you're not missing much. All it is just like it's a lot more like esports. It's a lot more esports related now. Like most of the booths, whether it's like, you know, Twitch or Discord, they have booths over there apparently. Facebook with Facebook Live,
yeah,
and Oculus obviously. So it's a lot more. It's a heavy emphasis on esports now and just streaming.
So
it's like.
Oh, go ahead.
I mean, I haven't gotten to that game yet of streaming. I know friends of mine who are definitely in that in Twitch with their own channels and all, but you know, that's what I've seen. It's like either that or tabletop.
Yes, I believe we're doing a Twitch show right now. but anyway, so I kind of drug you into the conversation about PAX and everything. But is there something you actually wanted to talk about tonight?
Let me see. Trying to remember, like I've been reading here and there, like I guess most of it is just like people, you know, I remember like out of this whole, Me Too movement and the fact that actually an incident similar to that happened last weekend in PAX East, where believe it or not, Magic the Gathering player got like one of the top players basically got dropped out of the tournament last minute because a lot of things came out about his misogyny and other nasty things about women that he's the way he's treated them.
And so, that they didn't want that. I haven't heard a lot of what's going on, but it sounds like the company didn't want to take the risk that this individual would win. And then some of that is going to reflect on them because whoever wins that tournament is going to basically end up being an ambassador for the brand. And if there's a lot of these things that could drag that down, you know, I can see why the company wants to make sure that doesn't happen.
Right. I mean, I get it. Like, you know, and then recalling like other, I guess nowadays it's like, you know, Twitch is or just having exposure in general just exposes you, you know, it scrutinizes all your actions that you make. Like if you were a dick before streaming, then chances are you're walking on a tightrope basically with your behavior unless you change it. And, you know, obviously with sponsorships and all, it's you're putting yourself in a precarious position where any action that you may have done behind the scenes before, you know, before streaming or becoming a streamer, which I can't even believe that's a profession now. and it's just like you do things, it's your behavior that ends up reflecting poorly. Like, I don't know if you heard about this one, a couple of months back where this streamer was playing Fortnite and he was beating on his his wife or his significant other while on the stream, like literally like off camera, just like beating the crap out of, you know, because he just like he was getting nagged by her. And then he was like the way.
OK, so that's really gross and not something. I mean, that's a gross incident. Sure.
Yeah, it is. It's bad. And the thing is, like, Twitch only gave him a slap on the wrist initially, until people called Twitch out for the fact that his channel wasn't suspended permanently after 2 weeks.
Well, he also got arrested, too.
Yeah, that too.
Well, anyway.
But the fact of the matter is that Twitch gave him, like, you know, Twitch really gave him a slap on the wrist initially. It wasn't until, like, public pressure. Really,
you know what's interesting? You know what's interesting is that there was a story this week, and it didn't make our show roll tonight, but it was about something about how, like, Mixer is really trying to figure out how can we, like, differentiate ourselves from Twitch. And one of the things that Mixer is trying to put out there and kind of push is that they want to be very much like an anti-toxicity environment. And so they have some different rules. And what's interesting is that it would be interesting to see how Twitch might ultimately respond to that, because I don't think Twitch necessarily wants to be known as, like, we love toxicity. I don't think so. I think it's one of those, you know, maybe Twitch, and I don't know enough about the situation. I don't want to defend it or either way, but maybe just Twitch needed a minute to kind of assess, like, what do we do? Because maybe we haven't been in the situation before. Or we don't have a clear policy. Let's hope Twitch has learned from that. And on that note, when we talk about learning from things, I think that, you know, when we talk about what people have done in their past versus what they're doing now, I think a very important question to ask is, you know, when we're considering, do we cancel somebody over what they said 10 years ago and this whole thing? I think you're going to have to look at a situation like that and go, but it does sound like the person, like, wants to do better. Are they learning? Are they apologizing? Do they realize why what they said was shitty and now they're acting differently? Or do they show that they don't give a fuck and that whole type of thing? And I think a lot of that sometimes weighs into how people might respond to a particular situation. You know, obviously these issues that you bring up are a way bigger, you know, cultural issue than probably something we can really sink into in 3 hours here on OLR. But, you know, you are correct that we are moving more and more into a time frame where things are documented. So why on earth you'd want to take physical action on your spouse, which, why on earth you'd want to do that ever, is one question.
Right.
But then to do that in an environment where it's recorded, gross.
Yeah.
Even if it's a joke, not funny, you know, it's like, what the hell? You know, I mean, if we're getting into a place where more and more things are recorded, you have to kind of make sure you're saying good things and being a good person and putting positive stuff out there where you can.
Sociopaths don't care.
Well, right. Yeah, there's always going to be a few bad eggs, but, you know, I'm just, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, the way I see it is that we're at an age where, like, you know, probably like 10 years ago, you didn't have this type of scene where people are making a living off of just streaming and just playing Fortnite, for example. And then it brings out the, you know, the bad elements. Like, you have certain individuals who haven't been conditioned to, you know, to behave in a certain way, or they're basically just assholes inherently. And as a result, you see their true colors in the way they obsess over what they're trying to do versus, you know, the other things that kind of, like, push them to the brink and cause them to act out differently in front of a live studio, you know, live audience.
Well, I hope maybe, you know, if nothing else, some of this, you know, culture of we're all streaming and we're putting ourselves out there, we're all also challenging ourselves with that to just, you know, act good and, you know, make good choices. And people are going to fuck up. People are going to screw up, you know, and I've confessed on this show. I'm sure we've said things back 17 years ago that were stupid, but I recognize that, you know, they were stupid and, you know, we've learned from that and we've, you know, hopefully moved on. And at the end of the day, trying to do a positive thing. But anyway, Zaku, it's good to hear from you, and I'm glad to hear you had a good time at PAX-ish. And I hope to hear from you again. Don't be a stranger.
Yep. Yep. All right. Definitely.
Take care, buddy.
Have a good one.
You too.
Have
bye.
A good one.
All right. Always good to hear from Zaku here. So going to our chat. Let's see. Oh, gosh. That's a really sick story. I don't even want to repeat that story. It's really sick. All right. Just what some people do on stream to maybe tug at people's heartstrings, and it's sad because then it, like, ruins it for everybody else. It's just blah. Anyway. All right. Well, trying to do good things here at Orange Lounge Radio. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, you know, as long as you're not being a jerk and hurting other people's feelings and stuff like that. You know, we want positivity at the end of the day. Doesn't mean we can't be critical of the things we love, like EA insisting on using that Frostbite engine. It's a bad decision. It's not, you know, we can call that out, but it's all in how you do it and what you say when you do it. Anyway, hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Orange Lounge Radio. And if you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But, you know, we can only share those voices if they're actually here to share with other people. So we encourage you to tell a friend or five about the show. The hosts on Twitch, like if you put VOG Network on your auto host list, that goes a long way. Really appreciate that type of stuff. All the tweets, all of that is great. And thank you guys so much who are out there helping to spread the word. So I think I'm going to go around now and get everybody's final thoughts for the night. Loki, you have a final thought for us tonight?
My final thought is I'm going to build the Labo thing this week, and I don't know. I'll try to get my edits to work. That's really what it's been down to. It's like, I know how that format works more than probably anybody, and yet it's not working. And it's frustrating because it should work. It's just not.
My final thought is, sorry for the mic issues, but the joys of live radio and what we do here. Thank you guys for participating in our live little radio program. And I can't wait for the Harry Potter game to come out already. Wizards Unite.
Is that coming out anytime soon?
My location-based gaming is ready for one more. They haven't said when. I'm hoping the summertime, but yeah. And Darsagra, last but not least, your final thought.
I'm happy that Star Trek Online plays on a Mac, and give me bursters.
All right, can do. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys again so much for tuning in and participating. We will see you back here in 7 days over at Twitch.tv/VOG Network or on the podcast feed, however you choose to enjoy this show. Thank you so much for being with us, and I hope you all have a wonderful week. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.